Hello, I want to welcome everyone to the Advise Show on Blog Talk Radio. And today's topic is bullies and cyberbullying. This particular topic is something that a lot of people are dealing with today, especially on the internet with cyberbullying. And also our kids are still dealing with traditional bullying. So I want to get talking about that. And I'm bringing in Ms. Gabriella here. How you doing, Ms. Gabriella, once again?
I'm fine.
Now, we're getting this convo about bullying and cyberbullying. Now, what experiences have you had with bullying itself?
When I was growing up, all the way until probably even in college, I actually did experience bullying, both online and offline. When it was in school, it was just because I moved around a lot, and I usually changed schools every single year, so it was hard to make friends. And I usually kept to myself. And so because of that, a lot of people would just say, oh, well, she's a stuck-up bitch, and I don't want to hang out with her because she thinks she's too good. But mainly it was because I was shy. It wasn't because I was stuck up or anything. But a lot of people would just say, oh, well, she's stuck up. She's a bitch. She's this. She's that. Oh, I don't want to talk to her. And so, I mean, I did have some people making fun of me early in high school, but as I got older, it was really just people thinking that I thought that I was too good to hang out with them. And then in college, I had a friend turn on me, so that led to her spreading nasty rumors all around school, and it got to the point where I could barely look anybody in the eye because I don't know what she told everyone. But I couldn't go anywhere without someone looking and laughing and pointing and saying that I was saying things about me. So that was pretty much my experience in real life. And then online, of course, there's always going to be girls talking shit about you and saying things like, oh, well, you're ugly and this and that. You know, like childish things like that. And, of course, people jealous of your success, or if they see that you're becoming more popular than they are online. People would sit there and try to bring you down by trying to start rumors and things like that, and trying to put words into your mouth and try to break up your friendships and things like that. So that was actually pretty recent. It didn't work, but I did have someone try to, try to destroy my reputation.
Wow, I want to get into all that, but give me a second. Caller 8519, you on the show?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so who is it? My ass, you're calling?
Oh, this is Madam Woodass.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing real good.
This is the first time I'm calling in because the topic is, like, definitely hits home to me. I was cyberbullied for, like, over 2.5 years, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it started because I'm the type of person that I don't mind sharing personal experiences because if I think it's going to help somebody. So I had a miscarriage at 5.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on this message board that I had been on for a while, and I shared my experience. And, like, 2 weeks later, this one chick who I had spoke to, we were friends online on this message board for quite a few months. I think I spoke to her one time on the phone. And about 2 weeks after I shared the story, she just made this post that I was lying and that I was crazy. I was never pregnant. And, I mean, she just kept this up for over 2.5 years and just got other people, you know, siding with her. I mean, a topic could be about the weather. And I might post, yeah, it's a nice day out or something. And here she comes, a bunch of people, you know, just insulting me and calling me crazy. That's the biggest thing. I'm just crazy. And,
let me ask you a question. You mentioned in personal information. I mean, what personal information are you talking about? Are you talking about you share with her pictures? You shared with her, like, an address? What did you share with her that was considered personal?
No, I didn't share with her anything personal. I'm just saying, online at the time, I didn't mind sharing the personal experience of me having a miscarriage.
Okay.
You know, and that was on the message board.
Okay. Well, see, you know, but, like, I'm, you know, I mean, I don't know if you, you know, I do these videos all the time, and it's a part of my life I do not share at all for the simple fact that what people can do with it. Like, at one point in time, I used to share a lot of things I was going through with my child's mother, all kind of things I was willing to share. But once I start seeing what people would do, what people would say, not even happen to me, happen to other people, and how far people can go doing things, then I'm not stupid to not pay attention to what happened to either myself or somebody else. And I take notes of it, and I don't do it. I mean, it's like it's a part of me and my whole personality no one knows online at all. They think they know me, but they don't. And that's why I don't like showing. I really don't like my kids being involved in what I do. I don't like my wife being involved, you know, like none of her picture or anything up in what I do. I don't mind about me. But just the thing is, they got crazy people. I don't care if somebody do come at me crazy because I can handle them. But it's just when it comes to my family or stuff like that or certain details, you know, you can't really say online. I mean, because they got some idiots online.
Yeah, and I learned that the hard way because, you know, this was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, I think I know who you are. Were you the lady that was talking in the comment section on the Agent McGowan video?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I recognized the story.
Yeah. And you know, I just didn't know. I mean, I know better now. I mean, even with Facebook, I only have like two pictures of me. I don't have accurate information. It says I graduated from high school only. It says I live in a state that I don't live in. Because you just never know. And
you're right.
This person was it's very narcissistic. Now, what I think set her off, because I talked about in the comment section about innocently offending someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think what happened, the only thing I can come up with why she harassed and stalked me and was obsessed with me for 2.5 years was because I remember there was a story in the news, a couple and like a 5-month-old baby, they were camping someplace. I think it was upstate New York or something. And a bear came and took the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were some people who really didn't like my stalker. So they commented on that story, and they called out her name. They was like, shame on you, Trish. In other words, they were saying she was the bear that took the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, that caught me off guard, and I laughed. It was pretty funny. You know, I enjoy a good joke. You know,
yeah.
I didn't mean nothing by it, and I think that's what set her off to just, I'm trying to understand and explain crazy.
It's kind of hard to explain crazy because they don't come with a playbook. Crazy people, I don't get them, I don't understand them, because you talk, you know, you and Gabriella talking about y'all experiences sound very similar, the lies and trusting people that maybe, you know, you shouldn't have been trusting at the time. You're referring to Facebook and everything. Now, when it comes to Facebook, let me tell you what I do. I only have family and friends that I know. I don't let all you strange people come on my Facebook page. I really don't. Now, I have a fan page. Anybody and their mama can go to my fan page. I don't care. It's just I just hit the like button. But anybody else that I'm cool with, they're on my personal page, okay? And, like, I recently had removed somebody from my page because I saw some things they was doing. I said, wait a minute. I don't like what they're doing. It wasn't family. It was somebody that just had on my page from YouTube. I said, oh, no, I'm getting them on my page because the same thing they doing to that person, they can do to me. I don't play them games. You know, that's how I am. I'll remove you quick because when it comes to my family, and I put pictures up and I put video up and stuff like that of my family and what I do, you know, I mean, you don't want other people to have that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in this forum.
I totally agree. And, you know, just that whole experience, just like, it just made me very untrustworthy of people, especially people online. And, like, I'm the youngest in my family, and whatever I tell my older siblings not to do, they go ahead and do, because they just never listen to the baby. So a couple of years ago, my brother would say, oh, you should go on blackpeoplemeet.com. And I was like, I'm not meeting people off the internet. Don't do that. You meet crazy people. He was like, nah, it's not like that, da-da-da. Next thing I know, I met some chick, straight up mental issue stalker. Now, my brother has changed his life. He used to be a big-time gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I was at work, and he called me scared to death. And if you knew my brother, you'd be cracking up, because he was such a gangster. And I can hear this woman banging on the sliding glass door to his bedroom. And he's like, madam, you got to help me. I called 911. She's banging on the door, this and that and the other. And I'm like, I told you not to be meeting people off the internet. They crazy. And, I mean, this chick called him like 300 times in one night.
Oh, that sounds like my ex-wife. That's why I had to block her from my phone. She called me too much.
Yeah, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. And people say, well, meeting people off the internet, that's no different if you meet somebody in a club or a bar or at a party or whatever. And I'm like, no, because when you meet somebody face to face, you can see crazy.
In a way.
Crazy.
No, Gabriella, what you were saying?
I would say not always, because, like, the experience with the girl that, you know, the one that went around and destroyed my reputation at school, she seemed like she was an all right person. She had a ton of friends. A lot of people seemed to like her. And she was really easy to get along with in the very beginning. So you can't, it really depends on the circumstance. You can't say, oh, well, you know, this person doesn't look crazy and that person doesn't look crazy. I mean, it takes a while for someone to finally let their guard down to show you what their true colors are. So you can't always tell, you know, from the first meeting, like if you meet somebody at the club or something, or if you meet someone online, if they're really someone you can trust.
Well,
now,
you
know what? I got one quick thing for you to say something. You was talking about looking crazy. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of sociopaths that don't look crazy. Ted Bundy didn't look like he was crazy, and he was killing up folks left and right.
That's true.
So you can't go on looks. You got to go on just really that gut instinct that God gave us all to say, something not right about this person. I trust that a lot. When I feel that about somebody, I'm like, ooh, what is it? And I won't let it go until I find out what it is. You get what I'm saying?
But don't you think that gut feeling, you have a greater chance to recognize it on the radar if you're in person, if you see the person, as opposed to being online on the computer?
Well, to me, I pay attention to how people talk. I throw certain questions at them to get them to respond a certain way. The way people speak reveals who they are. It reveals their intentions. I can read you a lot faster when you're typing words than if you're in my face, because I'm not paying attention to body language. I'm just paying attention to your wording and what you're saying. Like, you can't really hustle me like that either. You know, if I see you talking a certain way, or I see your activity, I see certain things you're doing, it's just not going to fool me. Like, when you're talking about dating and online and stuff like that, now I'm going to tell you something, you're going to trip out. My wife, I met her online, and I met her, matter of fact, she messaged me on plentyoffish.com. A lot of women say they can't stand that website because they've met some of the craziest guys on that website. I say, well, I don't know. Me and my wife got married, and we met that way. You know, we talked on the phone for about a month. We text and everything. I felt, okay, she's not crazy, so I'm going to go ahead and meet her. Now, I didn't even meet any chick. No matter what chick it was, I didn't meet any woman offline right off the bat. No, it was going to be at least close to a month or so before I see her, because I got to feel her out. Because I mean, one time I was on this chick, and it was cool for about 2 weeks until she just said something, and she just flew off the hands at me and just went off and everything. I said, whoa, what's up with this crazy woman? I said, oh, no, I ain't talking to her no more. You know, and it's like, that's why it takes, I don't know, I don't agree with that, you know, just meeting somebody right up front. You know, you meet somebody today online, you want to meet them tomorrow. I don't agree with that. I mean, what's the rush? I mean, let's get to know each other first. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know what? To each his own. For me, I ain't rocking like that.
And that's, and hey, and if you feel comfortable that way, that's what you should do. Because, I mean, some people, I had this lady talk to me the other day at work, and she was saying, matter of fact, that same website, she met a guy, and he invited her out. I said, how long? And you know, she said, it was weird. I said, what you mean? He said, he invited me with his friends and everything at the karaoke, and like I said, he bought me drinks and something to eat and everything, but he invited me, and he said, that's not my thing. She said, but, you know, after that, you know, he dropped me off and he didn't call me. He never called me back and this and that and the other. And this lady told me, she's like, what, 52? And I said, she said, I don't know. What does that mean? And I said, not to be rude. I said, what does it mean is he don't want to fool with you. I said, when a dude lose your number like that, there's something about you he don't want to fool with. I said, and personally, I said, if I'm going to take a chick out on a date, it ain't going to be no karaoke bar unless it's something she'd love to do. I mean, especially with a bunch of my friends. And she said, but he was real weird. I said, but talking to him after a week, how would you know the guy? You know, because most people meet now online. I mean, really.
Oh, I suppose they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
More
well,
power to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they're doing these days. But, you know, people taking this, you know, like I said, this cyberbullying and, you know, also this traditional bullying, you know, just a little too far. And, you know, you heard about the Amanda Todd story recently. You know, all these different kids are just killing themselves, you know, due to this cyberbullying. But, you know, all 50 states have laws against cyberstalking and cyberbullying. Did you know that?
I didn't know all 50 states did.
Oh, yes,
but
they do.
But I know at the time I was being bullied, there was no such law.
Yeah, well, that has changed. That has changed, and you can be criminally prosecuted in all 50 states about cyberbullying.
Well, that's a good thing. Definitely. And I'm a strong advocate for that.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm just kind of tired of seeing it. And like, the definition of it, of cyberbullying and how deep it goes, you know, with people, their definition in the criminal justice system, I mean, it goes from text messaging, I'll read their emails, if somebody create an account in your name and just start doing malicious things, if somebody defame your character, let's say, for instance, you're on YouTube, someone make a video and talking about you real bad and telling people to do things to you or whatever, because that can be considered as evidence as cyberbullying, and you can prosecute that person. See, I didn't even know all this stuff till like the other day myself. I started really researching it. And also the kind of attorney that you get, if you want to prosecute someone for cyberbullying, is the personal injury attorney, if you need that information. Yeah, all this is on Google. You can look it up. Like I said, you can look up the statute in your state about cyberstalking and cyberbullying. And I'm looking at a comment I got here in the chat. Say, is this show where we get advice on how best to cyberbully people? No, I'm not trying to tell you how to cyberbully people, but I'll tell you, if you want to press criminal charges or you want to share your experience, this is what this kind of show is about. Anyway, so Gabriella, you was talking about, like, everybody spread this stuff around the school. Now, did anybody tell you exactly what it was that was being said? Like, nobody put you to the side and say, hey, look, they saying this and then a third about you.
Well, I mean, what I got was, what I got back was that it was just little bits and pieces, but somebody said that there was rumors that I had a prison pen pal boyfriend, and they were saying things about, like, me, I don't even know, like, they said I was, like, having phone sex with him and all kind of crazy stuff. Like, they really, really went far, and I don't, like, you know how once the rumor gets started, people start throwing extra stuff in there, and then it turns into something completely different. My story was that I had met this guy in my high school, and we had kept in contact
for a couple of years, and we ended up having a relationship, and it was long distance. I did not meet him off of the internet. Like, for people were thinking that I met him off of, they thought that I met him off of Facebook, and he went to prison, and he was my prison pen pal boyfriend or some shit like that. And the weird thing was that the girl that started the rumor, she was the one who had a boyfriend in prison, not me.
Yes, and that's called projection.
So it was just like, it was really disgusting because this girl, I thought she was really my friend. It was just a really crazy story. Like, we used to, we were going to the same college, and we would hang out all the time. It was like every single Friday night we would, like right after we both, I was working, and then she started working at the same place. But that's besides the point. After I get off of work, I would go back home, change my clothes, come back, go to hang out in her room. We would eat, you know, eat popcorn, watch movies, and hang out for, you know, for hours on end, and we would just talk. And little did I know, she was trying to get me to be, to open up to her and to confide in her so she could go and take everything I said, twist it around, and then spread rumors and try to make something out of nothing. And come to find out, I had told her that I didn't like my roommate, and I was having a really bad situation with my the girl that I was staying with in my dorm, and she kept bringing guys over and things like that. And I told my so-called friend about this and how I felt, and I really didn't like the situation. And little did I know, she would take what I had said to her, add words in, and flip it around and try to exaggerate and make it sound like something I had never said. And so basically she went and took everything that I said and told my roommate about it, and they ended up becoming friends. And so and since my roommate was kind of a really, you know, she was a really messy person, she loved drama, she liked to talk about people, and then my so-called friend, you know, they were both those kind of people. And so, you know, there was stuff coming from both sides, and it really got bad. And, you know, the odd thing was that she told me that all of this was out of jealousy. And she told me later on that she was jealous because I had a you know, relationship with this guy. And even though he didn't live in the same state, we still cared about each other. And, you know, she was jealous because of just little stuff. It didn't even make any sense. And so in the end, she tried to come back and try to be friends with me, but I was like, no, after you did all this, you expect me to want to be your friend again? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with this stalker I had, I'll say she stalked me for 2.5 years, so we'll say up to 2004. Maybe it was like 2005 or 2006, she apologized to me online. And I'm a forgiving person. So, you know, we would just chat here and there or whatever. You know, I don't hold grudges. And then maybe about 2 years ago, she said something in a thread that was clearly a lie about, you know, something about something that she doesn't do, which is exactly what she did to me. So I came in and I said, you know, that's not really true. And then here she come calling me crazy, and now all of a sudden I lied about a miscarriage again. And then since then, you know, she would try to communicate with me, ask me questions in a thread. I just totally ignore her, and that's that, because I already forgave you once. And you turned around and did that crap again. She just has some serious issues. And you're not going to make your issues my issues. And, you know,
that's crazy.
That's that.
My thing is, why I'm trying to figure out, because I never could figure out. I'm the type of person, I don't have time to bother people. I really don't. I mean, I have so much things going on in my life. And, like, how do you find the time to sit online all day? I'm still trying to figure that out. Like, do you have a job? I mean, do you have a life? Do you have a family? I mean, what is it that you Dude, they got people that will sit online all day long, literally. It's like, if they shut off the internet for a week, I mean, what would happen to you?
Well, you know, some people make it their business to try to make others feel, excuse my French, fucked up like they feel about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their whole purpose and mission in life, is to destroy other people's self-esteem. And I have a term for those types of people, and I call them nigger bitches. It's the nature of the nigger bitch.
Wow.
That's in their nature. They can't help themselves.
So what you're saying, hold on, I gotta ask this question. So what you're saying is that you're saying a lot of black women is doing this? Because I've seen people of all races do it, but you know, you said...
Wait. Don't get me wrong. Nigger bitches are not indigenous to the black race.
Okay, it's an inclusive word. Okay, I got you.
Okay, I came across some Spanish nigger bitches, Greek nigger bitches, all types of nigger bitches in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I'm not talking specifically about black women or women, period. Because there's a whole bunch of nigger bitch men running around this earth.
Oh, is it? Oh, boy. I tell you what, though. It's that, like, I don't know. Like you said about the meeting people, I'm like that just about all that typing. Like, if anybody watched my videos, you won't see me typing in the comment section a whole lot. I mean, because I feel like I put my videos up, I think they speak enough. And like I say, if I have time to, when I'm uploading videos, I'll go through comments and I'll maybe say some things here and there. But I just don't have the time. You know, and one of the main things they were talking about, I was reading a study about cyberbullying, is that the moment you respond to them, you just egged it on right then and there. The moment they tell you something, and you respond right back, because you gave power to that person when you respond. And so the key is, they have block buttons for a reason. They have spam buttons for a reason. Use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes, you have to ignore them. And if they're a narcissistic individual, it's called narcissistic supply. That's the attention. They're like parasites, and they just feed on attention from others, whether it's negative or positive. And that's just what it is. And the way to deal with that type of personality is you have to remove their source of narcissistic apply, which is attention. You don't respond to them. You ignore them till the cows come home. Eventually, hey, it might be a week, it might be a few days, it might be 2 years, but as long as you ignore them, eventually they will move on, because they need to find their narcissistic supply from something else or from someone else. And they'll do that.
But
the more you respond to them, the more they'll continue.
I agree with you. But some people are so crazy that they will not stop. And then that's when you take it to the 10th degree. See, which that's kind of how I am. I'm like, if I get to the point I'm going to get upset, I'm not going to go talk about what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And then by the time I do something to you, you're going to be like, what is all this? You get what I'm saying? And, you know, some of these people that, you know, doing this cyberbullying or whatever, like I said, I watch my kids' Facebook and all that stuff all the time. And if I ever catch something like that, you know, of course I'll make them block them. But if something keeps happening after that, then, you know, since I know the law definitely here in Texas, they will be getting a letter from an attorney, either stop or, you know, criminal proceedings is going to happen. Because, you know, like I say, the state of Texas is very serious about cyberbullying now. Yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a deal myself, because I don't really have those issues. You know, I really don't. I mean, because I just, I had that attitude, like, I can care less what you say. You know, I can ignore you. I mean, because I don't take the internet that serious. I mean, now, if you bring something to my house, something to my household, that's what I take serious. But also, you know, too, you got to be careful of the pictures you're putting up online and who you send them to. Like, a lot of these women get involved with men in these relationships, and they sexting them pictures, and they break up. Now these guys putting their pictures up on porno websites or putting these pictures up all on the internet. That's why, you know, women really need to be careful when they're sexting a guy.
Because mm-hmm.
those pictures are used sometimes to cyberbully. The same guy you were dating, you know, you saw he wasn't no good or whatever, and now he's, you know, basically just clowning you on Facebook and showing all his friends some naked picture or some compromising picture of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know why women would do that in the first place. I mean, what is the point?
You really want me to tell you the point? Or, Gabriella, you want to tell her the point?
They just want to impress the guy, usually, or they want him to like them.
I'm going to tell you this much. I'm going to tell you this much about sexting. Sexting, 100% of the time for me, just being real, it always a prelude to sex. Usually if a woman's sexting you, she wants to have sex with you, period. That's just kind of how it is. You know, they willing to share these things with you. It's not a lot of times you ask. Now, you got some guys that just straight perverts and they want to know. But these women will share it with you just to get you intrigued with them to do something with them. Caller 3934, you on the show?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. How you doing, guys? I just wanted to kind of add on to what you guys were saying about
mm-hmm.
the you know, sex thing and everything. Because I mean, nowadays, I mean, you get a lot of these you know, the young females who will, you know, they'll maybe in high school, and they'll have, you know, they'll let dudes run trains on them, and then, you know, the dudes wind up posting, you know, stuff on Facebook for everybody to see, and
World Star Hip Hop.
Yeah, World Star Hip Hop, you know, and taking things to a whole nother level, and you know, and there was actually a story back where I'm from in New York, where, you know, a girl wound up, you know, tossing herself in front of a train, you know, because, you know, allegedly, you know, some guys from high school, you know, I guess, and this is a, you know, allegedly, you know, because I don't know all the particulars, but it, you know, apparently the way the news angle went, you know, a bunch of guys at the high school, you know, kind of did, you know, their thing with her. And, you know, they all posted it on Facebook, and, you know, she was crushed and ashamed, you know. And, you know, she wound up offing herself. I mean, she jumped in front of it on an oncoming train just because the pressure and that cyberbullying, because, you know, they, and then the rumors, you know, went around school, and she was humiliated. And, you know, understandably so, you know, I mean, she could have made a better decision, but, you know, I mean, that's not the point. But, you know, that's what happens, you know, when you get these cyber bullies or bullies in general who want to post up all that stuff online and then just to humiliate someone, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's like, you know, back in the day, if somebody got bullied, any kind of bullying or shaming, just the people that was there saw it and they would just talk about it. Now it's like everybody in the whole world can see you got beat down, or they ran a train on you, or you like Amber Cole behind the school, you know, jawboning and all that stuff. You know, it's everybody know about it. I mean, shoot, they even put that Amber Cole video up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was taken down, but still, I mean, like YouTube, everybody see YouTube.
Yeah, but see, the thing about you know, the cyberspace is once it's out there, you know, you can take it off, but it's never out there. I mean, it's never taken off completely because you know what's out there somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, you know. And at schools especially are taking this thing to you know, the cyberbullying thing, or just bullying in general, to another level. Because I know I have a little, you know, one of my little mentees. He, you know, him and, you know, little kid that he knew, and they were all, you know, 10, 11 years old, and, you know, they were snapping on each other, or I mean, I don't know if I'm showing my age. What are kids calling that, cracking on each other now?
I don't know what they call it. I would have asked my daughter.
Yeah, snapping, cracking, or you know what I mean. They were kind of, you know, going back and forth, your mama jokes, and your mama this, your mama that, and, you know, apparently, and they were going back and forth, snapping at each other. So it was a bunch of guys. It was almost like one of those battle rap contests, we get a whole bunch of guys around you. So, you know, they were all cracking on each other. And apparently, you know, my little mentee was getting the best of this other kid. And you know, and it's never the actual snap that it gets you. It'd be the crowd that, So apparently, you know, so my little guy was getting the best of him. You know, they were going back and forth, and it was a little too much. So the kid started crying because, you know, I guess, you know, he was losing and it was getting a little too much for him to handle. So, you know, he started crying and he ran off and told the teacher. And, you know, and you know, my guy, you know, wound up getting in trouble for it. You know, but, you know, the bottom line is they were both kind of cracking on each other, but he couldn't handle it. So he went and told, and, you know, and I guess the school authorities, you know, take that stuff seriously. So, you know, he got in trouble for it. You know, so schools are really, really cracking down on stuff like that.
Yeah, they really are, you know, and when these kids start killing themselves behind it, because I'm like, when I first saw him killing themselves behind it, I'm like, man, hold on. I said, everybody had bullies in school, or maybe, you know, or so, and nobody killed themselves behind it.
Right,
I mean, it's like,
right.
Either you toughen up, you finally fight them back, and then you become
right.
a beast after that. You know, that
right.
bully just made you tough.
Mm-hmm.
But now they take their life.
Yeah, but I mean, but at the same time, you gotta remember that, you know, the airwaves weren't as out there as they are now. I mean, if you know, say if you get beat up in your neighborhood, you know, it doesn't go past your neighborhood. Now when
it
you get
doesn't
beat
go
up,
past
you know,
your block.
Yeah, it doesn't go past your block. You know, so you can pretty much pick up your chin and live to fight another day. Whereas, you know, somebody get beat up, and the first thing these kids are doing is pulling out their camera phone.
Yeah, exactly
then,
what they're
know,
doing. They'll pull out their camera phone and watch somebody get killed, but they're going to record
it. Yeah, exactly. And like you said, the first thing they're going to do is put it up on Worldstar. And it's so funny because, you know, you'll see the fight going on, and then you'll hear some kid in the background, oh, Worldstar, 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 you know, and knowing they're going to put that thing up on Worldstar. So, you know, back, you know, I'm 35, so, you know, we didn't have, you know, the internet, you know, when I was a kid, well, internet wasn't around when I was a kid, you know, but.
Well, you
know,
when we were in school, because I'm originally a New Yorker.
Mm.
So when we were in school, you know, if you had a conflict or beef with somebody, after 3 o'clock, it was over until the next day. That's
yeah.
not how it goes today. It continues
right.
on Facebook. It might even start at Facebook at night, and then it comes
yeah.
into the school.
So don't forget
right.
Twitter. You see, they've had
yeah.
videos where people
mm-hmm.
be getting into it on Twitter. And there's a video recently that came out about girls got into it on Twitter, and they, you know, fighting each other and stuff behind Twitter.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, Twitter bees.
Twitter bees, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll have fights that will the genesis will be a Twitter beef, and then it'll turn into a real fight, and which I find, you know, kind of ridiculous. But, you know, there's just there are too many tools out here nowadays for young people to get into that would cause, you know, one to be bullied and, you know, and for the other person to feel humiliated, you know, so... I mean, but I guess there's nothing that we can do about, you know, the tools that are out there. I think, you know, we just have to better educate our kids and teach them that, you know, stuff like that is not good. But, you know, again, kids are going to be kids. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, kids are going to be kids. But if it gets too far, like, I mean, it's really getting too far. And it's one particular person, not like a fight. If a fight happened, they record, there's nothing you really can do about it. It's on the internet.
Right.
But if this one particular kid keep on, you know, it's just that one person, you know, you could do something about it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, like I said, I was saying earlier, there's laws for that. There's attorneys for that.
Mm-hmm.
You could definitely take it there. I just wish, like, not too long ago, I don't know if you heard about this guy that was bothering people online or whatever under a fake screen name. Somebody had pressed charges on him. They found out who he was. He went to his job and arrested him for it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're not playing no more.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, we were saying about that sexting earlier. Not a sexting deal. I've seen more grown women do the sexting than teenagers.
You work in the school system because you wouldn't say that if you did.
Well, no, I don't deal with kids. I'm pretty sure they do. I don't deal with kids, but I'm saying just from my experiences. You know, women have no problem sexting pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And neither do young girls. And when I think it was a few months ago, a student came up to me and was like, so-and-so, pictures going around, look. And I'm like, child, I don't want to see that. That's kiddie porn. Don't show that shit to me.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Y'all let them have it. Yeah, it's a trip. Y'all let them kids have them phones in class. Cause I know back in the, when I was in school, and I'm telling my age too. I'm 33. You better not have no beeper in class.
Yeah,
take
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Exactly. Listen, you have that beeper. It's been confiscated.
What you don't understand is that the schools really don't have no power. Students going to bring it anyway. Parents will not come up and see about their children's grades, not about the consistent conflicts they in. The way you want to get a parent to come up and see you, because you can make phone calls, talk to them at work, send them letters, they will not show up. You take that kid's cell phone, they'll be up there with the quickness. Now, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I know about that because my daughter got caught with a phone in the gym, and I had to go up there and pay $15 for that phone. I told that girl, I said, you know what? I said, if it happens again, you ain't getting that phone back. I said, that's $15 I had to give them people. I said, I'm not rich.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that woman told me $15 to get a phone back that I paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you a story, though, about my daughter. She was getting bullied. She was. And she kept telling me, you know, because, see, I'm old school. I ain't for all this new school stuff. I'm really not. I say the way you handle bullies is the old school way. You fight. That's what you do. You let that bully know that you're not no punk and make an example out of them because other people's watching, because if they can get away with it with you, mm-hmm. the other people won't get away with it. So what happened, the girl was messing with her, whatever. I told her that. I said, you know what? Next time she mess with you, I say, you beat her down. That's what you do. You don't let nobody pick on you or whatever. So the last thing that happened, she ran in the house, and she said, oh, you say, I got to tell you something. I gotta tell you. She was all excited. I said, girl, what's wrong with you? And then she said, I got in a fight. I say, with who? And she told me a little girl name. And I say, well, okay, what happened? He said, well, the girl, I said, I dropped my pen cap, and the girl had took it, and I asked her to give me my pen cap back, and she was like, it's not yours or whatever. So she kept, like, getting back to her. Long story short, she ended up throwing it in her face, hitting her in the face with the pen cap. And everybody saw it or whatever. So what she did was she grabbed the little girl by her hair, and she slammed her head like a few times back and forth against the seats on the bus or whatever. And then she stopped the bus, you know, and it was a little white girl. Of course, when the mom shows up, she's talking about pressing charges. I say, yeah, press charges. I got something for that, pressing charges. So I go up to the schoolhouse. I tell them folks, I say, look, you know, they're not going to be picking on her. That is not going to happen. I said, she's going to defend herself, and whatever she get, I will get attorneys, I will do whatever I got to do, but I'm not going to let her have it in her mind that she's going to be somebody's victim. She ain't going to be nobody's victim. You know what I'm saying? I said, you ain't going to protect her, so I need to tell her to protect herself much as she can. And, you know, ever since then, you know, that happened, like, her confidence changed. Her confidence completely changed, and everybody in school was saying that, oh, she's crazy. You know, she kept telling everybody saying she's crazy. I say, that's good. They think you're crazy. That's good. Mm-hmm. And nobody will mess with you either. And, like, you know, she's extremely confident. Now, that happened last year. Her confidence totally changed. She was bullied for a long time.
Yep.
You know,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go. Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, she was bullied at her previous school. And, like I said, when she, of course, got around me and everything, I just told her, I said, no. You don't be no punk. I said, I'm not having punks. I say, everybody going to fight, from the males to the females. So you don't start fights, but you finish them.
Right.
You know?
And that also, you know, once the Goliath goes down, it actually lessens the power of a bully. Because, you know, now that you're talking, I'm getting my mind to thinking, when I was a kid, you know, there was a bully in the neighborhood. You know, he was a bully, but see, no one would actually fight him. You know, because he had three older brothers, and anytime something would happen, and anytime he thought that he was going to start fighting, he would go run and get his brothers. So, and he was sort of a pseudo kind of friend of mine, so he didn't bully me as much as he bullied, you know, everybody else. And even then, you know, I would stand up to him because I knew him sort of personally, but he would be bullying everybody. So I remember. Oh, man, I remember as clear as day. Some childhood memories you'll never forget. And this is a childhood memory I'll never forget. And one day he was picking on another friend of mine who lived a couple of doors down from me. You know, he was a bigger kid, you know. And, you know, he was just, you know, oh, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat. So he was bullying this kid. So, you know, he goes in the house and, you know, he starts crying. I think he may put his hands on him, too. So, you know, he goes in the house crying. And then his mom, you know, like the classic old school hood mom, kicked him out the house. Like, you better not come back in his house. You better fight him.
Yep.
He went, you know, his mom kicked him out the house. Like, don't come back in his house until you fight him. So he had no choice. So he was going there. And I saw this with my own eyes, man. He whooped this bully's ass. And after that, it just seems like everybody's opinion of him just changed. Like, no, now nobody's scared of him now, because it was like the classic Debo moment. It's like when Craig knocked out Debo, it's like you're no longer Debo now. Now you just you're the punk now. So after that moment happened, everybody like the predator became the prey. You know, and then everybody started whooping his ass. So like to answer your point, you know, some, you got to stand up to these bullies, man, because once you tear them down, then they no longer have power among, you know, their peers, because everybody feels now that they can, once they see somebody else take them down, now they have to, you know what, if your daughter can do it, maybe I can do it. You know, if you know, whatever your daughter's name is, you know, if someone, you know, Samantha did it, then I can do it. You know, then I'll go ahead and do it. And then the next person will see me do it, and now I can beat him up, you know?
Yeah, so, let me give you a second. Caller 1601, you on the show?
Hey, how you doing, brother? It's Harvey Superboy.
Oh, what's up, Harvey?
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late, man. Just got caught up in some things, man. I know your topic was about bullying, and I don't know if you've been paying attention in the last few days, man.
Oh, yeah, I've been paying attention.
That sister, man, for a whole year, she stalked me. She lied. She false flagged. She was spreading rumors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, today I was getting messages from people saying, why did you send that link out? And I'm like, this is the only way I can get this sister off of me. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I was trying to be rational to her, you know, appeal to her better nature. And my thing is, some people, it's just like, I don't know if it's a carryover from high school or grammar school, or they was once bullied and now they feel they're on the internet, they got anonymity where they can bully. And I mean, it's dangerous.
Well, let me explain to the people that's listening right now. Basically, the man is talking. He's, you know, he does his videos, minds his business. He don't bother nobody. And they had a person that kept harassing him. Wouldn't leave him alone. He asked him nicely to stop bothering him. Asked him nicely to stop, you know, watching his videos. You know, just let him be. Which, you know, that's what you should go by your way. Well, you know, she kept antagonizing him. You know, causing him to lose accounts, and which is not fair, and stuff like that. And so, long story short, it came out that this same woman did a pornographic video, and she was the same woman. And so it was, you know how it is on the internet. It was on the internet, clear as day. It was put out on blast. And so it's like ever since she's been exposed, from what I've, you know, paid attention to, and was hearing what Harvey's saying, is that like she's gotten, you know, a whole lot worse with him. Is that true?
Yeah, to a degree, and actually with a lot of other people, because I've gotten private messages from people that said they know her from Facebook and things, and they was like, why did you keep harassing this guy? Why did you lie on this guy for such a long period of time? Because even people that was really subscribed to my original channel, now they want to crawl their butts back and apologize. I'm like, for almost a year, I told you guys that it wasn't me. You know, you've watched my videos. I mean, I don't assume everybody's going to agree with my videos, you know, but I begged the sister. I said, please stop. Come on, we're adults. Let's stop this. And you know what got me? She went to white supremacists and sent them my direction. I'm like, how low can you get because you disagree with my videos?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's sad that we as black people can't agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing is, we play into these gender wars, which really is exaggeration, and usually it's people outside the community manipulating things, because I kept telling people, you have trolls come to your channels, and you can pretty much tell the difference between white trolls and black trolls. See, white trolls just want to be hurt. They just keep pestering you and pestering you until they figure, okay, this guy won't stop, then we got to try to false flag. But our people, we get very personal with it. and then it mm-hmm. elevates into something more. Because I'm going to tell you something. She don't know if I'm a stable guy or not. You know, I might take a trip to where she lives. I might, you know what I mean? You don't know that. I'm not saying I would do something like that. But you never know how people react to bullying. And a lot of people don't understand there are laws on the book, especially since 9/11. Every time you click on the internet, you send a comment, it is being monitored. And people don't seem to get that.
But do you know? Do you know every state in the union have laws against cyberbullying? Do you know that?
I know it now. I've known it now. I think maybe about 6 months, because I remember before some places didn't have it. I think when that guy was videotaped on camera having sex with the other guy, he jumped off the bridge. I think that's when they pushed it.
Yeah, I got a link that gives every state and the reading of every law of every state. I have a link for that. I don't know if you could. Let me see. I can put that link up in the chat. Maybe I don't know if you can see that chat. Hold on. Let me get to it. Put in the chat right now. This is a link to. Let me see. It goes in there right now. Hopefully it sends. Anyway, yeah. If not, I can message it to you. Also, like I said, I was telling earlier, you know, the type of attorney you go to actually get them to stop or prosecute them as a personal injury attorney. If I don't know if you knew that as well.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But you know, I have on my father's side of the family, I have people in law enforcement, and I've been talking to them. And I have a cousin with the FBI, and you know, they were telling me which steps I got to take, and I keep trying to tell people, I don't want to have to go to extreme to jam you up for the rest of your life, but people don't realize that's like assault or, you know, attempted murder in some cases. And I keep telling people, based off even that video you have posted about the sister that was murdered, people are starting to take this stuff serious, because I'm going to tell you, at first, it was just, you know, your white supremacists doing they good thing, but when this started affecting a bunch of people in the white community, and then these terrorist attacks and stuff, they said, okay, we just can't separate this from that. They count all of it. And I keep trying to tell people, if you don't like somebody's content, don't watch their videos. If you think they're saying something that's inappropriate, you say what you're going to say, or don't visit that website anymore. I think a lot of people figure they can hide down the internet, but they can't do that anymore. I keep telling people, even when you send a text or a picture, it's being monitored. I was in the military. I know what they can do. And you think you got anonymity? No, you don't. They know everything about everything.
Now, you're talking about.
Let me ask you, brother. Do you feel that this would ever escalate to, you know, to someone showing up at your door with a nine or something and blowing you off, or,
you know,
like how serious is it?
I hope it doesn't get like that, but you never know. You never know somebody's state of mind. I mean,
I
don't want it to get to that point. I'm just saying that, I mean, I can take care of myself, but you never know. But, you know, there's some people out here, if you listen to their videos, they are pretty unstable. And you sitting here saying, why would a person follow not just me, but my subs? Because, and brother, you know, I remember when I sent that video out warning everybody, I'm like, look, the sister come to your channel, just say kind things. When she think you relax, she don't want to start going in on you. And she was, I mean, she would move around from video to video. And then the women that were supporting her this weekend told her to stop, and she stopped snapping on them. And they said, why don't you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to make a quick comment. Like, let me tell you what it is. That same chick, she, like, maybe a week and a half ago, she got a new Facebook page because she liked, because, you know, when you like, when you have a fan page and hit like, you know, you can see who liked it. It's, like, right at the top. She liked my fan page, and, like, maybe a while ago, she had another Facebook page, and she tried to go to my personal page. And I told her straight up, say, I don't accept people on my personal page. That's for family and friends that I know. I said, I have a fan page for anybody else that want to, you know, talk or get on it. Go ahead. And she was like, okay, well, that's understandable. But I'm like, I remember what you had told me. And I'm like, why is this chick trying to get on my personal page for?
Now, who is this? I mean, I don't want to give a name any props. So, you know, if you guys don't want to disclose the name, that's cool. But, you know, is it somebody that, you know, should be kind of looked out for? Or?
Not really.
Yeah,
not really.
Let
me ask you a question. What you do YouTube videos?
No, I mean I do some blogs. I do some blogging, but I don't do any blogging.
Okay, because like if you maybe somebody, I would just say who she was, but it's like She had a list that Harvey showed me of a bunch of brothers that do videos online. A bunch of us, you know. And he sent me the link to the chick that had a list of him, me, a bunch of other black men on there that do stuff. And I guess she was going to try to mess with them in some way, form, or fashion. But, you know, like I said, I've never had any, like, run-ins with her. I really haven't. I mean, I've seen her, like, at times she'll come and she'll comment, but she don't say nothing to fly. You know, so because I'm quick to... I don't know if maybe some people know this about me or not. I don't respond. I just block. That's what I do. Because I don't have time.
I think that's what sent her off. That's what sent her off. When I did my – and you know the tone of my videos. I point out, you know, the self-hate or hypocrisy, the racism, and that's how my videos have always been. And I guess she got mad because I was calling out those white racists that was, you know, harassing us, making threats. And she was like, why are you so hard on white men? I'm like, what? So I never responded, so she kept sending me messages. And then I said, sister, if you don't like the video, don't, you know, you don't have to watch. And she said, well, I love me some white men. I'm like, okay, you know, I already know where you're going with this one. So I did a video, you know, telling black people that, you know, Oprah Network is failing. You know, watch what's going to happen. She's going to run back to the community, which she did. And she went to this whole, you hate black women thing. I said, I never said I hated black women. If anybody watching my videos would know, that's not me. And she kept harassing me, so I had to block her. So what she figured what she was going to do is go get other YouTubers. But instead of going to get other black YouTubers, she went and got white YouTubers that was harassing me, making death threats. And she had a conversation with them. And I couldn't believe it. I said, that's low down. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to ignore this woman. And then her subs, there was subs to her channel. They started going in on me. But thank God I had female subs that was following me. And they were seeing what's going on. And they would take up for me. And I think that's what kept me, you know, going, because at first I'm like, man, I'm just going to stop doing these videos. And then I said, well, I guess that's what she wants me to do. So one, I think early part of the spring, I was sitting in front of my laptop. I was doing something else. And I said, you got a message. I look up. This is her. She said, I'm back. She said, you think I'm going to stop messing with you? So I screen captured it. And I put it up on YouTube, and people saw it in real time. They're like, this dude was right. You stalking. And then she went after the people that put her on blast. And so every time I would put up a video, she would comment, or she would sub to my channels, but then she'd give them false flags for little things. Then I figure out how to go around her, not even mentioning her. I just say, that woman. And then the viewers who was paying attention, they already figured out who it was. And I think that ticked her off even more. So what she would do is sub to me under dummy accounts or create dummy accounts and follow me around and go urge other people to get in on the action. But when they realized this woman was, you know, kind of screwy, they stopped doing it. And what she would do is she would try to pick accounts and come in and say she's another person and all this other stuff. And then when I got that link sent to me, I told her, I said, please stop or I'm going to put you on blast. And she made a threat. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I never mentioned her name. When people saw it, they're like, oh, my God, this sister's one of those women that say one thing and do the exact opposite. And so this weekend she come on the two other different accounts and she started getting into a black women. And I think that's where she got ticked off.
I read that. That sister, because she'd come to my page, and she comments all the time. You know what sister I'm talking about. She was very nasty, mm-hmm. too, and everything. Mm-hmm. That woman is nothing but respectful to people. And she talked so nasty to that woman. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, horrible nasty.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the Internet, man. I mean the good thing about the Internet is that everybody has a voice. But conversely, everybody has a voice.
Has a voice,
you know. You know, so you know, and this person, you guys alone probably. I mean, she probably gets more attention doing this than she's ever gotten her whole entire life. You know,
I believe.
I don't know. I think she's kind of borderline obsessed with Harvey. I'm really thinking that because I wouldn't worry about nobody like that. I got to live my life. Worry about some dude I don't know online.
And that's the thing. And the thing is, she live in New York, and I live in Illinois. And I'm sitting like, if I'm not talking to you, and a lot of people even suggested that she might be attracted to me. I don't think so. If you attract me, you tilted by going messing with talking to white guys, racist white guys, to try to come after me. And then you making videos and all this other stuff. And there was times where I tried to talk to her, like, sister, stop. Matter of fact, when I got one of the trolls, they said they used her name. And I said, this may not even be her. And I gave it a benefit of the doubt. Everybody told me, no, man, that's her. And it's like you try to be nice to him, but this woman is not being nice to you.
Sure, I don't know. I probably would have did something crazy knowing me. I probably would say, you know what? That you want to talk this out on Skype, voice, just to see her angle.
But you know, the thing is, brother, I think like brother said, you know, everybody has a voice, you know, on the internet, and that's the problem. I think it's going to come to a point they're going to start regulating the internet. I never thought I would say that, but they're going to have to start doing it because some people have too much freedom, and stuff is getting passed out here, and nobody's monitoring. And the internet can corrupt weak-minded people, and I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a firm believer. Like, I really try to monitor what I say a whole lot more now mm-hmm. than what I used to, because I try to mm-hmm. take what I call social media responsibility. Because believe it or not, you could say something on your video and incite people to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You really can. Like, you mm-hmm. can, I can, you know, whatever, and really sell something to some people. And they got some people that you don't know who listening to you that would actually go do what you say.
Yep. Exactly.
And then something happened out of it, they're going to be like, oh, well, he said, and I just felt this and that. And they'd be like, what did you say, sir? I'm like, I was just making a video. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's what happened to Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly said something about this abortion doctor, said killer, the baby killer. And some guy went to the guy church, following the church, and shot him dead in the church. And when it happened the year before last. What happened? He was the only abortion doctor in the area. I forget what part of the country. He had to be in somewhere in the other part of the Midwest. And because Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, they say things to psych people, because you know you have weak minded people. The guy said because of Bill O'Reilly, he went in and killed the guy. And Bill O'Reilly was like, I don't have any control of that. You know, they try to deflect stuff. You know, that's like when you had these kids out here, 18, 19 years old, talking about they want to assassinate the president. Where are they getting this stuff from? They're getting this stuff from, adults.
Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Donald Trump.
All of them. Yes. Exactly. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, when I do Michelle Malkin, Ann Coulter, Lori Ingram, you know, I can go on with these people. And you'd be surprised. These people are rich. And if these people really cared about their community or the country, they would dip in their pocket, you know. They always kind of set off poor, misinformed, easy influenced people. And that's why when I do my videos, I try to make sure that I say, not all, not all. I have to keep repeating it. Some people get mad when I do that because I don't want somebody taking anger out on an entire group of people.
Yeah, you're right. I call it the all. Like, I've heard people say it, so I'm gonna say it too. I call it the all police. Because if you don't say not all, like in that video today, like when I've heard about Asia McGowan and everything. I did hear about it. I never really looked deep into it, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I did look into it, you know, one thing that had with that guy that you know one thing issue he kept bringing up a lot was about black women and his religious views. Okay, mm-hmm. But I kept hearing him talking about, you know, that thing about black women, and I'm like, you know, I said, that made me think that, okay, you know, I better make sure when I talk about certain, you know, certain like hood rats or whatever that do things, I need to be careful how I do that too, because I don't want to, because some of these guys that I comment on my page, I said, man, y'all, I'm in my mind, they're a little too obsessive, you know, about black mm-hmm. women. It's like, I don't care, I mean, mm-hmm. what I mean by I don't care what black women do, in other words, if what they do with their life is them. I mean, I can just get the chick I'm with, and that's all I can do. You know, if you don't like perm, you don't like weed, whatever, don't get a chick that got that. Just move on with your life. But there are some dudes that are so obsessive about black women, and I'm like, why? You know what I'm saying? I mean, and if you look at, you say, wait a minute, I'm looking at it from an objective approach about the sisters, and if she's wrong, she's wrong. If she's right, he's right. They want to say, oh, like they tell me, oh, well, you know, you simping for black women. So I ain't big a single black woman online for no sex. That's a simp. I ain't gonna do that.
Yeah.
I say so.
Yeah.
You. I say.
And I think,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's what some brothers do. Because I give a perfect example. I watch Tommy videos too. I don't always agree with Tommy videos, but mm-hmm. I know when he's still in the niche. He's going after a certain behavior. Some of our people are so slow. They think he's talking about me because maybe they engaged in that action before. And they feel guilty about it, so they figure they got to respond. That's why I always in my videos, even when I'm talking about racism, I have to keep saying not all white people, because there have been white people out there that done right by me and stuck their neck out for me. I don't want to indict everybody. And I don't want to indict all black women. I don't want to indict anybody. But, you know, sometimes when I see things in the media, and sometimes y'all can pick up on my videos, my voice may raise, I'm frustrated. I'm like, I know I'm not the only one to see this, but some people actually think you're talking about them personally. And I said, this is why I said the educational system and the church got to step it up, because there's some really weak-minded people out here.
Now, I'm going to tell you something I saw. Now, if you would have paid it, you remember that chick, that Miss Prophet 123 chick that did that video about black men? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It created like a firestorm or whatever. And it's like, you know what? She did, really, to me, I didn't have really no issues with her saying anything.
Personal.
It's like, you know how many videos I've heard like Miss Prophet do, like from other black dudes? And like, this chick make one video. You know what I can liken her to? She's almost like a female version of Tommy.
Yeah.
She, just the same way. Okay. She's a female version of him, literally, the way she talk. I'm not, that's about it. Just the way she delivers stuff. And I don't, oh boy. I mean, they would leave her alone. They were trying to shut the girl Facebook page down. And these are dudes.
I'm going to tell you something. And I full disclosure, I had went on Tommy's show maybe last month, and I had a conversation about this. Me and Tommy the same age. So when he cracked jokes and stuff, a lot of people don't realize he's doing it in sarcasm. You know what I mean? They don't get it. It's like it went over their head. I'm like, don't y'all realize when he's cracking jokes and he's saying these things, he's only reflecting what the culture is. You know what I mean? Like, he did a video about, you know, women don't like being called bitches, but yet at the club, they dance to songs, they call them bitches. And women, all of a sudden, you hate black women. I'm like, y'all missing the point we're trying to point out. He was pointing out the hypocrisy and the irony. And I'm sitting there saying, some people are just too slow to get it. Like when you do your videos and you're trying to talk to them, common sense, plain speak, and I watch people get mad at you. And I'm like, y'all don't understand. The brother's only pointing out the idiots out here. And it seems like we let the idiots run the asylum. And it just, I don't know, it just sometimes you laugh at it. You're like, it's some really weak-minded people. And all you got to do is look at your comments, because you're going to get about four or five people on your comments that just ain't playing with a full deck.
Yeah.
And sometimes
you
got to ignore them.
And if I catch them.
Ignore them because,
I know them all right.
I read all of them.
Yeah, I catch them. Like I said, if I catch it, like I said, because I can't read them all. So I get so many comments, you know, sometimes I just can't keep up with them all. So, you know, between all of the freaking videos I didn't put up. But anyway, you know, I'm pretty sure you didn't put up. I think you probably put up a little bit more than me, on at least on this current channel. You know, but if I catch something, somebody's telling me something racist, or I get that too. You know, dudes trying to say, oh, nigger this and all this other stuff. And I laugh, and I just delete it and block it. I mean, I don't worry about it, you know.
You gotta watch out. I'm sorry, sister. Go ahead.
I usually would just leave those negative comments up there, because it'll just, because half the time it's like I had some guy talk about some, you're so ugly in Nigeria and go back to Africa or something stupid like that, and I just left it up there. So, and. A lot of the people that usually comment on my videos will sometimes they'll just say something back, or they'll just leave it alone, because it's just all it's going to do is make them look stupid. And then with the thumbs down thing, I used to care, but now I don't, because I'm like, I'm just going to, if that's the only power you have is to sit there and thumbs down my video or leave a negative comment, you know, go ahead. I don't really care. It's not like it's taking any money away from me. I'm still getting paid for it, so. Whether you like my video or you don't.
No, you know what? Speaking of getting paid, I ain't talked to Harvey about this since I got him on the line. Brother, why are you not going to get paid for your hard work?
You
working
know what?
Hard, brother.
I'm going to tell you about this. When I started doing these videos, I didn't look at it as financial, because, I mean, I'm comfortable. I can pay my bills, you know what I mean? But I was doing it because I love my people. And YouTube, the way they got it set up, you know how many views you had to get just to make a profit? That's why that's why they was coming after black YouTube channels. When we started getting a certain amount of views, they was flagging them, and I realized what they were doing, because Gia Ireland was telling me that she didn't even get paid for her stuff. There's a lot of people out here not getting paid. So
oh, no.
I
can tell you the secret to it. I'm going to tell you the secret to YouTube. The secret of YouTube, if you really want to start seeing money, you got to become a full partner. If you really want to start seeing money, because they put you in the Google Promotion Network. And what that is, I didn't even know that existed. What that is basically Google is going to promote your stuff. That's why partners start getting all these views all of a sudden. It's because basically Google is putting their stuff up on the YouTube front page. Okay? But I know a brother, like what happened on my channel. A brother came to me on my old channel. And he said, hey, man, he said, I saw your stuff. He said, and how would you like to be a full partner with my network? It was a brother. And he's a partner. He got, like, I think 181,000 subscribers on his channel alone, right? So mm-hmm. I said, I can't on this channel because, you know, I had an issue with a few sisters that was hating on me bad. And they messed up my Google AdSense account. They click-bombed me, you know, twice. You know, and Google, mm-hmm. I couldn't even dispute it. I'm telling Google, I didn't click them ads, but that's it. So I started this new channel. I talked to brother. And brother was like, okay, so I got it set up. So my channel now is fully partnered with Full Screen. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, and see, like, I had got, like, two videos I did had recently got, it was about a month or so ago. I had one get flagged and another get flagged, but YouTube only put age restriction on it. But it's still somebody tried to flag some videos, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I noticed that, like, it's a difference when you have a partner channel, like when it comes to flagging versus not.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, you read, that's another reason why I didn't do it, because I noticed once you become a partner, this is something I've noticed, I could be wrong, that means you have to really watch what your content and your video is, because things get promoted out there. And then if you got other people out there complaining, they can kick you out of the whole thing altogether. See, that's the balance I had to play with it on YouTube, because, I mean, YouTube is one of the big boys, because they was the first. That's why I'm looking to start my own site and everything, because I want to be able to, if people are going to say what they're going to say, I don't want them to be worried about somebody editing. As long as they come to, what I'm trying to do is not making threats or trying to pass off anything murderous or anything or graphic, I'm cool. It's just that I think YouTube don't want black viewers or black channels popping. Like, I think they figured we done made enough money off them with the booty shaking videos and the fight videos. We don't need nobody up to talk
Believe
about
it or
business
not, Harvey,
or politics.
Unless Twerk Team is a full YouTube partner, they're not really making a whole lot of money off of it. They're making some, but not a whole lot. Actually, they got a few brothers out there, like D-Storm is one, Spoken Reasons is another one. They got a few brothers and sisters out there. Glozell, I don't watch her because she cooned too much for me. You know, she making decent money off of it. But they have some brothers and sisters out there doing it. But yeah, it's like, let me tell you what happened to me recently. Like, my old channel, because of what you were talking about, the partner thing, it's like all of a sudden people I work with all of a sudden saw what I do, and I kept it hidden for the past 2 years I've been on YouTube. And how I found out, my old channel, which I have all the videos on, one of my coworkers on my crew has subbed my channel, my old channel. And I'm like, I saw his name. And I looked and I said, let me check the activity. And I looked on his channel and, yeah, sure enough. But it was weird. He did not recognize me. It was so weird. He did not recognize me at all. I don't know why he didn't recognize me. And he even made a crazy comment on it. And I said, you know what? I said, let me see if he's going to recognize me. And he didn't. Or then the other video I put up about the bus driver, my wife's good friend had called her immediately and say, I heard Philip on YouTube. She said, I didn't know he did that. I said, how did Christina find out about that? And she said, oh, she just saw the video and she heard your voice and she knew it was you. I said, oh, hell, man. I said,
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry.
Right, go ahead.
Well, one of the guys I served in the Army with, he remember when I first used to do it, I used to let people see my face.
Yeah.
And I realized, and I didn't have a problem. I didn't feel like I had to hide anything. But when that guy said, well, you're in the Army, I'm like, who the hell is this? Because at first I thought it was a stalker because, you know, he's never said who he is. And I can understand respect why people don't tell their name because, like, you don't want somebody popping up at your door unannounced, you know. And when he did that for a while, it freaked me out, man. I ain't doing no more videos. And then I thought about, like, what are the odds, you know, what are the odds of somebody, you know, hunting me down or coming to my door and that kind of thing. Then I got the brilliant idea that people respond better if I put images up, because we're a visual society. And I've noticed that there have been white people come to my channel. And they didn't, and I kid you not, I know this sounds crazy. I don't think I sound like a white dude, but they thought I was a white guy. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, So I said, let me stop putting up images, because, like I said, we're a visual society. And we tend to retain information better if we actually see what somebody's talking about. That's why when those three brothers suggested I get screen captured, it's benefiting me, because a lot of people want to know about the things that was going on out here. Like if I say, hey, go to this website, I don't believe you. Well, look at the screen capture. It's right up here. I didn't create that channel. I don't have that kind of technical skills to make a phony website that quick out of it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
YouTube has its benefits, but at the same time, you have to be careful, because there are a lot of people who still believe in some crazy crap. Like when I try to talk about genetics and whatnot, what's dominant and what's recessive, our people are so hell-bent on praising other people, and you sit there like, we can't get much self-hate in our community. But then when you turn on the television, you're like, yeah, that's that much self-hate in our community. So you have to be careful on YouTube. And like I said, I did it because I love my people. I did it because people are like, why don't you make money off of it? And after a while, I started thinking like, you know, since I am doing these videos, I might as well make a profit off of them. So that's why I'm going to do
that. That was one of the best advice I got. That's one of the best advice I got. I ain't gonna lie, because I wasn't making nothing, and I talked to my people on my fan page. I said, listen, I really like what I'm doing, but I have to start a new channel, whatever. And like I had everybody saying, you're doing it for free. You might as well get some compensation for it. I mean, I'm like, well, I say, okay, y'all right. Been one of the best decisions I ever made. You know,
and the thing is, I got to research, because, like I said, you start your site, you're going to need advertisers. You don't want, because I don't want to start something and then not make any money off of it. So I got
to
figure out how
to
get contact.
Well, when it comes to a website, yeah, you can get advertising, but I'm going to tell you this much. Like I got, I bought my, like, domain name, and I got my web hosting already. Like, and then my guy, I'm going to get him to start my site, probably start working on it maybe the first of next week, because I want to have my own site also, because that way I can, if I want to say something, I don't have to worry about YouTube terms of service. I can just put it up. And, you know, yeah, I've done all the research, and it's going to cost a few, you know, dollars to do all the stuff I'm doing. But, hey, it's all worth it. You know,
yeah, because I'm looking into it myself, because I want to make sure I get it right, because, you know, I didn't want to put up a site. You know how you've been to some sites where some brothers and sisters, they mean well, but you like, they're not showing me anything, and you don't want to waste your time there. And my thing is, if I do something like a tube site, I want people to be able to feel comfortable. I don't want to just be geared to the black community. I think that's what messes our business up when we try to gear to our people, because we have a tendency not to support each other like we should. So I want to be able to have anybody come on, say what they're going to say. If I think it's too out of pocket, I give them a warning. If they keep doing, then you decide to say, okay, I got to, you know, cut you off for 2 weeks or something like that. You know what I mean?
I think tube sites are very expensive to have. I've been doing the research. Tube sites are very expensive. One of the most inexpensive ways to go is to embed. Like, you can get a Vimeo Pro account if you want to and pay $200 for the year. Or if you want to, go to Blip TV. .tv through them, but I wouldn't probably suggest that, because they also have rules too. They don't have a flag button, but they have rules. You know, if somebody reports you for certain things, you can get your account removed. So I would say go Vimeo Pro and upload your videos to Vimeo Pro. You paid your $200. Any site situation that you're paying money for, they don't be telling you nothing. Because that's why YouTube, they do what they do, because we don't pay for it. I wish YouTube would change to be like, you have to pay to have accounts. That would stop a lot of stuff too. Like, you can't post videos unless you pay. That would be great. That would be awesome. Because then they could just be removing your stuff. And also that bullying, too, would stop. Because if all these people are creating accounts and trying to bully people and harass people, if they had to pay even a small fee to create all these accounts, I guarantee you it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, because I was.
Even if it was like a dollar, they would stop because, you know, I've seen people with like 15 different dummy accounts and they'll go and put up videos on all the accounts and go in. I don't even know how they manage to do that kind of stuff, but they'll put videos on, go and sub to all these people on all 15 accounts and then go and troll all these, troll the same person using 15 different usernames and stuff like that. I mean, I do like the fact that it's free, but at the same time, I don't think that should be possible because it doesn't make any sense for someone to be able to have 15 different accounts and do stuff like that. Because I've seen people getting their website shut down, and some people would just get so mad that they just say it's not even worth it and they'll just quit.
Yeah, I've had people say, I don't want to fool this YouTube, man. There's enough drama, this and that. And like I said, that's why I told the wife, oh, yeah, AdviceShow.com will be launching because I got to have my own stuff. And I'm all on black business right now. Well, I'm not only that. That's what I'm about Black Wall Street, black business. So I got to have my own everything because, hey, I don't want nobody telling me nothing because, like I told the wife, my goal is to work for self. I ain't trying to work for them folks, you know, because I don't like them telling me what I got to do and do what they say do. If I want to take off for Christmas, I can. If I want to take off for Thanksgiving or whatever, I told my wife, I want to get to the point where I can get big enough to hire other brothers and sisters, you know, because why should we have affirmative action and we would be in business enough? We can hire our own people and don't need affirmative action. That's the problem.
True.
You know what I'm saying? That's why we come on these jobs and they're looking at us funny. It's because some of them don't want us. Let's think about it on their point of view too. Because I play devil's advocate a lot. And okay, they are the only, you know, so, like some of the racist white people, of course, not all white people. They are the only ones that's forced. They are forced to have people on their job that they don't want there. Think about it. They don't want you as a black person there, but the government makes them have you there. That's why they hire their quota. That's why they don't give you a promotion. They don't give you nothing. They really don't want you there. I mean, how would you like it if the government told you you're forced to have somebody else live in your home? That's why they treat us the way they treat us. They like,
but
let me
you know
the right.
But you know what? They've always had affirmative action. They always got it. Just how people have to understand. I'll give you an example. During World War II, when the veterans came home, the cities were overcrowded. They gave these veterans grants and loans to go out to the suburban communities. This is how the suburban communities was built. They got grants. They got loans. That's a part of affirmative action. If you got a father or somebody's wealthy that went to one of these universities and they have a son or daughter that's not doing good, they donate so much money, they call them legacies. You know, I hear white people talk about affirmative action, and to be perfectly honest, blacks really haven't abused or benefited from it. A handful have. Anybody's benefited from it has been white women and other people of color. I mean, think about it. When they come over, you have somebody from Cuba
come over,
they automatically.
I agree with you on that because in the industry I'm in, I see it. I see it all the time.
Yeah,
like I'm in the petrochemical industry, and it's not really a whole lot of brothers that's in it. And it's not that we don't know. Oh yeah, we know about it, but it's like they let a brother in far and few in between, because those jobs pay good money.
Exactly. And I give you another example. When slavery is supposed to end it, we technically outnumbered, quote unquote, white people. So what did they do? They opened the floodgates to Ellis Island. So they brought them ethnics over there, people that was once considered black or ethnic white, and said, now you have the gift of whiteness. And they tried to stoke their numbers. Even to today, you see how both political parties are vying for the quote-unquote Hispanic or Latin vote because they know that usually people who they figure is close in proximity to them are going to stand with them. This is why you see a lot of Hispanics coming at black people really nasty now because they figure we're standing in their way for progress. That's why I think that we as a people, when we came out and voted 93%, we need to be paying attention to our legislators local because they passed the laws for to grant these people basically amnesty. Here in Illinois, they're talking about letting people who are illegal get driver's license. You know what a driver's license can do for you? And people don't understand that. And I'm sitting there saying at some point we got to say, you know what, for 40 years like we went to sleep. If we don't wake up, we're going to constantly begging people for things. And right now, this country really don't want us here anymore.
Well, you know, I already know the deal with that. We all know the deal. That's why we're in a position right now. That's why I keep preaching this on my channel right now. Go into business. You're in a position. You have no choice. Go into business. Prior to segregation, we were doing that. Now, after segregation, it's like we left all our stuff. I don't get that. Like right now, we have no excuse right now, no excuse not to do it. Especially with the creation of the internet, anybody can do something now. Anybody, you know, cyberbullying and all that other stuff. Yeah, that's part of the culture of the internet. But it's no reason why we can't do anything. Like I tell people, we survived slavery. You mean we can't do that? Come on, now.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's no excuse. Like that's why I did a video a while back telling the brothers, and some of them didn't like it what I said. Okay. When I said we got to stop focusing all this attention on what sisters doing all the time, worrying about what's in their hair, and focus on what we doing, because we got to turn the community around. I say that's why the community's in the situation it's in, because they've been taking the lead, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be us taking the lead, but how can they depend on us to do anything when we not doing it? We not. And I was talking to another brother yesterday. I don't know if you heard the video I did while I did a little interview with a brother that has his own business, him and his wife. I don't know if you heard that video on my channel.
No, not yet.
Yeah, it was. It's like I had an interview with him the other day. It's a few days ago. It's on my channel. And like I told him too, if at least 80% of us, the reason why I say 80%, because you got to leave the 20% for the hood rats and thugs. People gonna be gonna do that regardless. That's why I say the 20%. If at least 80% of us would be doing it, we would have the economic power in this nation that they had no choice but to respect us, because power respect power, period. The reason why that these politicians stuff talking about the Latin vote and the Latinist and the Latinette is these people are growing in economic power. They're popping up their businesses. They're going from taco stands to restaurants. They're doing all kind of stuff. I'm in Texas. I mean, they are doing it, so they got no choice but to start respecting them. And it's not so much the numbers, it's the economic power. That's what it is. And the reason why we overlooked and not respected is because we have money. Blacks have money. Don't get me wrong. We have money, but we just spend it in stupid places. We don't want to create businesses or invest.
I can give you an example, this Black Friday stuff. Now, here it is. You have these major corporations all through the year. They charge you full price or overprice you and stuff. One day or 2 days out of the year, they slash prices. Now, you have brothers and sisters talking about they can't pay their car note, can't pay their rent, can't pay their mortgage, but they stood out there in the cold or running like fools. I'm sitting there like, why don't you guys understand these companies don't invest nothing in your neighborhood? You got to go to the suburbs to buy the overpriced or cheap stuff that's going to last you maybe a good year and a half if you treat it right. And I'm sitting there saying, why is it that we don't understand that foreigners that can barely speak English come directly to our community? Before they go to any other community, they don't live among us. They don't do nothing with us. They sell us alcohol, drugs, greasy food, but then they don't mess with it. I'm sitting there like, we don't understand how to control our dollar because we've been so conditioned
that
everybody else stuff is better. That's been our problem. And I'm telling you, I tell people, a lot of people don't like to quote this version of Dr. King. He said, I'm afraid I'm integrating my people into a burning house. And that's what happened. We wanted to get in the house so bad, we didn't care if it was on fire or not. When King was assassinated, they went and got Black journalists out of the Black newspapers and magazines, and those brothers said, oh, we finally made it, because he's working for them. But once they started working for them, they started controlling what they wrote. So our people got fed lies, and they got into the Black churches and stuff. And I'm sitting there saying, it's not a Black business in our community. We got banks in our community, but we can't get a business loan. You know, I mean, here it is. I'm starting to see Mexicans here in the Chicago area run barbecue places. Arabs running fish places. I'm like, wait, something's wrong with this picture. You know, and it's just our people just don't want to get it. I think we wait for some mythical savior to come save us. It's not going to happen.
That's been Black people's problem for a long time. They always want a leader. You don't need a leader. You lead yourself.
To be honest with you, I think the reason why the banks may not want to give the loan is because maybe they've seen too many Black businesses come up and then fail, so they might think it's too risky to invest money into something that's just going to run itself into the ground. For example, I had some relatives who opened up this, they opened up a store and they were selling T-shirts and skateboards and things like that. And their business didn't last, you know, they usually say it's supposed to what? If you can make it past the first 5 years, then you have, you know, a chance that maybe your business is succeeding. But they weren't even able to make it past the first three. If even that long, I can't even remember. This shop opened and closed, like, right before you knew it, and then they ended up being bankrupt. And now they can barely pay their bills. So, and I've seen this happen a lot of the times with black businesses because I've seen them open up shops doing things that, or they'll be selling things that just people don't want to buy and they don't have the knowledge and the resources to be able to keep their shops open because and they also don't have the right business connections either. And when you start a business, it's harder than you might think. A lot of people are just like, okay, I'll just take out a business loan. I got this excellent plan. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And realistically, if you don't, it's not even about what you know. It's who you know. You know, if you don't have the right connections in this world, you don't have you don't stand a chance.
Yep, you ain't lying. It's who you know.
Well, I think with her black businesses, this is one thing I've noticed. I don't know if it's where you guys live at, but we always want to put our face on a business. I think it's the worst thing you can do is put your image on a business and you're trying to attract all types of people. That people tend to not want to come in a place with black people, even black people. Like you said, we have this mental thing where, oh, we're going to get poor quality service because, let's be honest, we do. When we go, when I worked in fast food as a manager, I used to watch black employees respond different to white management or white customers. The voice changed, they go to the black customer or a black manager, yeah, I ain't doing this, what you want? So we already, on a subconscious level, are programmed to self-destruct. And then my thing about the business, could it be the location? Could they be selling what the people actually want? Or could it be a nasty-looking establishment or an unsafe area? You know, my thing is we should demand some of these businesses in our community be black ran because you have people come over here. Like a lot of people have this misconception that everybody that come over here foreign is saving their money. No. A lot of these people, if you go to the public aid office, they've been there getting stamps and money and they go to Sam's Club and be filling their stores up. I've seen them. And I'm scratching my head. I'm like, why don't we be this I wouldn't say devious, but be a little bit smarter, quicker on the draw. You know what I mean? I mean, here it is. You have people coming in your neighborhood, white people. This is what white people do. You cannot set a business in their neighborhood and not invest in something in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Little league teams, church scouts, street improvement. We don't do that. When the people come in our community, they go and deface buildings that people once had lived in, and then they don't watch who congregates around their business. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there are a lot of black businesses that I would love to support, but they're in rough neighborhoods. And I'm not gonna come home after I've been in Iraq and then come home and get shot because I wanted to go get some barbecue. That don't make no sense.
Yeah, well, see, one of the biggest problems I notice with a lot of times the black community, they don't set a standard of excellence, and you know, and look for the living at a higher level. You know what I'm saying? Because this keeping it real stuff that's in the black community is destroying it anyway. Everybody got to keep it real. Keep it real dumb is usually what it is. You know, you talking about the businesses. You talking about opening a barbecue shack or stuff like that. Yeah, barbecue is good. Unless you got the best barbecue on the market, you got to study the demographic. You got to study who got barbecue in the area, what the prices are. I mean, you got location is everything. You know what I'm saying? It's location. Mm-hmm. If you want to go into a business and you want a restaurant, why don't you try something that works? Like, you know what? I'm opening up a McDonald's franchise. I guarantee you I'll make money at McDonald's.
Exactly. And take
that money like that.
And you take it and reinvest it in something else.
Yeah. I mean, or like I tell brothers and sisters, why don't you try to invest your money? Like, all it costs is $500 to get an E-Trade account or a SkyTrade account and start investing in these companies that everybody's lining up in the line for. Why don't you get some of that money? Because there are resident folks doing it. That's how I think. Mm-hmm.
Educating yourself, you know, plays into the picture too. Because I've been approached by, you know, by some friends of mine about starting, you know, like eateries in the hood, or eateries in the neighborhood, I should say.
And, you know, and I always tell them no because, you know, they want you to open up a, like for instance, a barbecue pit. Well, I mean, excuse my language, but what the fuck do I know about barbecue? You know what I mean? And I don't like to do things, you know, sort of flying by the seat of my pants. You know, so if I'm going to invest in something, I would like, I said, you know, let's get together. Let's become educated on the restaurant business. You know, like you're just putting some money into
give me a second.
Restaurant.
Hey, brother, give me a second. Caller 7860, you on the show? 414?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I did not press 1. Okay.
I sure can hear you.
But I did press 1. But anyway, I thought the show was going to be about cyberbullying.
We were talking about that. We got into another conversation. What's going on, sister? I know exactly who you are.
How you doing, brother? Good to hear your voice.
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I am well. This is a subject. The subject of your show tonight is one that's very close to my heart, you know, because I'm a victim of a cyber stalker, you know.
Oh, really?
And oh yes.
This is Sister from YouTube, right?
Yeah.
I saw your video. You was on the bus. I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just had to put that out.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay because, you know, my thing is, as far as bullies, period, are concerned is, you know, I was taught not to run from a bully, you know, regardless. I don't care if they're a cyber bully or a bully on the street. You confront them because I think that the more you run, the more you're going to have to run. And so my strategy is to blast them, put them on blast, collect the data, don't interact with them, you know, like they send you an email or send you a text or whatever, or, you know, come on your show or whatever. You don't interact directly with them. You just document everything, and you know the laws that are within your state because they do have, you know, various laws that protect you from cyberbullying. Now, one thing I will say is we have to get a little bit more savvy about, as far as our lawmakers are concerned, is that they basically concentrate on cyberbullying when it comes to children, you know, children in school and things like that. But, you know, we have to force our legislators to broaden that to, you know, adults, because it happens to adults. And when I saw your video today about Asia, I think her name was Asia.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember that vividly, you know what I'm saying? And I think the fact that most people just ignore them, and I'm like, no, you don't ignore them, because when a person gets locked on you, see, there's a difference between a troll and a cyber stalker. A troll will generally just drop a little piece of shit, and then they'll just keep it moving, you know, if you don't pay them any attention. But a cyber stalker, it's about you. You understand? It's something about you that they want to I can't get in the mind of them because I really don't know. But my strategy is always be up front, put them on blast, name on blast. You know what I'm saying? And then just document everything. And then, you know, they have investigators, cyber investigators as well. As a matter of fact, as you know, this situation has came about, I've even thought about going to school to be a cyber investigator, because I think it's important that we be protected on the Internet and Facebook and those places like that. And people really believe that they're anonymous, that they have anonymity on these sites. And I'm like, no, you don't. This is government. You don't have anonymity. You could be traced, you know. But I just think that for the most part, many of us just don't want to take the time to dedicate themselves to tracking these people. Just like they tracking you, you can track them too. But it takes, you know, you have to have tenacity to do that, you know.
Now, let me ask you guys something. Has there ever been a precedent set? I mean, has there, you know, by the law, like, what would one get for, you know, if one was charged with cyberbullying? Like, has there ever been a precedent set? Has someone gotten major time for cyberbullying?
Hold on. I got the laws before me right now. I have to look at the Texas Penal Code. It's right in front of me right now. In Texas, let me see what the punishment would be. I know they talk about let's see, online impersonation. They talk about tampering with the Rick. Let me see, that's that. Hold on.
From what I understand, they say that that your internet bridges, you like in internet company, you know, when you give your name, you on this database and whatnot, and you can't. It's like they stop you there, or it's like a regular you know, order protection where you can't come so many feet, or if you like in another state and you travel, it's sort of like the terrorist, you're on his list, and your name hits. Like, say for instance, the sister in question has been harassing me. I know she lives in New York, obviously, because, you know, her accent, she says it. I live in Illinois. Now, she used to come to Illinois. She basically got to tell where she's at. And if anything was to happen, if I got a scratch on me, or if somebody sent me a crazy phone call, the first person they would look at is her.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand, like Sister said, the only reason why they focus on kids is because a bunch of gay white kids started getting picked on, started committing suicide. But it was actually adults out here that were getting harmed. Women were being stalked. The Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis were putting out different literature and whatnot. And I think that what happened is we think, oh, I'm at home. Nobody's going to take the time to come do that to me. And we've all heard stories where celebrities have lived in California, have somebody come from Arkansas to go kill them. I think about 20 years ago, if y'all remember, maybe y'all don't, I'm aging myself, this is actress that was on the show called Sister Sister. And she had to start, you remember that, Rebecca Schaefer.
Yeah.
And this guy kept stalking her and stalking her. He found out why she lived, went home and shot her in the chest in front of her own porch. And so what happened is now they start taking these things a little bit serious because of her. But the thing is, until something tragic happens or something happens to some white person, they're not going to take it serious unless we start complaining about it. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the video I put up about H7, he's got a lawsuit going against Google because of the false flagging and the trolls and the cyber stalking. And, you know, he's been trying to get people for the last 3 years to join him, and I've been trying to get people to join, but people are like, oh, you do the legwork. I'm like, it just can't be one or two people always leading the charge.
Exactly.
Well, let me read y'all, like, I was found it in Texas law. First it starts off by online impersonation. A person commits an offense if the person, without obtaining the other person's consent, with the intent to harm, defraud, intimidate, or threaten any person, use the name or persona of another person to create a web page on a commercial social networking site or internet website, or post or send one or more messages on or through a commercial social networking site or other internet website other than on or through an electronic mail program or message board. Now, they say a person commits an offense, they send electronic mail, instant message, text message, or similar communication that references a name, domain address, phone number, or any identifying information belonging to any person without obtaining their consent, as they say, with intent to harm them now or defraud them. Now, they said in Texas law, an offense can be a felony to the third degree. At first, it starts off as a misdemeanor, but then it can go to a felony if they get emergency personnel involved. So you can go from a misdemeanor to a felony with this stuff real quick in Texas.
Yeah.
In
Wisconsin, it's only a Class B misdemeanor, basically. Mm-hmm. And you could get a fine of up to $1,000 or you get 90 days in jail. I've done my research on this as a result of being stalked by somebody. I mean, it's been about three people, different entities, but I think they're all one person. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, it's kind of insidious because they lock on you as an individual. And, you know, I think the greatest thing you could show them, I mean, the worst thing you could show them is fear, that you're afraid of them. You know what I mean? Because I'd be like, bring it. You know, whatever you go do, bring it. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm done talking, because from that point on, it's documentation and it's tracking you from that point on.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
that's why,
you know,
when I did my videos, I'm sorry, sister, I apologize.
No,
delay,
no, that's
I'm
okay,
sorry.
Brother. That's okay. That's okay. I'm,
you know, what I've done, and the Vasha, he can tell you, I got the screen capture software. Because what YouTube, what you do, I'm going to tell you what they do. I'm going to tell you what YouTube do. If somebody sends you a message, a lot of times they let you read that message, but people can close their channel down, remove the message. When you go back, check your mail, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Only one can pull up is after YouTube. So if you get that screen capture and capture in real time, and I've learned to throw it back up there because I had this white guy called Southern Comfort. He's following me around from YouTube channel. He threatened to kill me. And I kept telling him, I was like, these are people out here on YouTube got channels talking about they want to kill niggas. And everybody thought I was joking because you know how our people get. We get into our little cliques. You know, we only watch black YouTube videos. And I'm like, you guys need to broaden your horizons. YouTube is worldwide.
Yes, you do. Yes, it is.
I just don't go to black channels. I subscribe to channels that I don't even like. I mean, I didn't subscribe to Klan channels just to monitor what they're saying and the stuff they say. I'm like, how can YouTube not catch this? Because I know they have a monitoring device. As a matter of fact, I think last year, I don't know if y'all remember that little girl that got caught behind the school with those three boys. They was making them have oral sex. And YouTube,
oh, yeah, we were talking about that earlier,
video,
Amber Cole. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, they let that video sit for 3 days. And they had the other one with the girl with the SpongeBob up there actually showing her having sex. I'm like, how the hell did they come to our channels and let these people? I know they know that these people are making threats towards us. Even when you go report them, even get to the point now when you report them, YouTube even say the channel don't exist that you're complaining about, or if you send a message, they never see no follow up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they allow people to false flag, because see they trying to alleviate them being responsible.
Right.
They let the
exactly.
other people be responsible. See, they trying to be slick, but if you understand the law, like Sister said, and you take precautions, like I say, I tell anybody, if you're going to do this YouTube thing, get you some screen capture. If you're not even doing YouTube anything, you need documentation. Because this sister, she stalked me for a whole year, and I sent
you the
list of names that she was going after, and I said to her, I said, a lot of people start doing this, they leave you alone. The white trolls, they don't come at me like they used to more, because one guy said, you're a smart nigga. And he did the LOL, and he stopped bothering me.
Because
he realized that I was going to call the police. But the sister in question, she thinks, oh, this brother ain't going to do it. He won't do it to me. I'm just going to keep doing it. And I'm like, okay, fine. You want to keep doing this. I have no problem calling the law. Because this is when the FBI and them get involved. And ever since these little kids been committing suicide and getting picked on, they take this stuff serious.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, just yesterday when I did my Blog Talk Radio show yesterday, somebody showed up in my chat room with my handle, Queenie Fama the Rebel, but they put some numbers behind it. I immediately captured the screen, kicked their asses out of my chat room, and then this morning I called Blog Talk Radio and gave them the information. So you can't sleep these people. You cannot ignore these people. You don't know who you're dealing with. So you got look, I take nothing for granted. You know, no jokes. That's why I don't play. I don't joke around. You know, none of that stuff. Everybody online that knows me know I don't play joking and playing. And, oh, I was just playing. No, I don't play that. You know what I'm saying? I take everything serious because you don't know who you're talking to on the internet, you know, because it's so, you know, people can cloak themselves. But like I said before, it's not anonymous. You think you're anonymous, but you're not. And the brother is right about the screen capture. They have screen capture software for Windows, and I'm on a Mac. So on a Mac, you simply just do Control-Alt-4. And you just take that cursor and the stuff you want and then click it, and there it is. You know what I'm saying? But they do have, you know, various software that you can get that can capture a screen. So, you know, you just got to take everybody serious. Don't blow them off. I'm just going to ignore them. And I saw the advice on your channel, Brother Advisor, and that is they were saying, I just ignore them. I don't ignore threats.
Well, let me tell you something.
I don't ignore none of that.
Let me tell you something. I haven't dealt with nobody to the point I had to put you on blast like that. Like I said, because I'm not really a guy to do. I'm a nice person, but I can be. You know what Harvey said the other day. That's kind of how I am. Like, I can be very nice to you. I really can,
right.
But don't have me turn into a butthole because you won't
okay.
like it. You really
right.
won't because,
right.
like I said, I know more about computers than what I let on, and
right.
like about that screen capture. I got screen capture stuff, but I didn't pay a dime for it. I mean, it was free. Gene, you can download that for free. Capture the screen. It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't play with people like that. Hold on, give me a second. Hold on, it's Harvey. Calling 9922. You on the show?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I just want to say, if you really wanted to find out about bullying and cyberbullying and all that, you can go to Facebook.com, Bring Your Game. Bring Your A Game. Bring Your A Game. That's what you need to go to. It's a great site, and it's beautiful, man, and I really love it. Yeah.
Okay, and what is that site supposed to do?
Man, they got great information about cyberbullying, laws on it, stuff like that. Yeah, Facebook.com/ Bring Your A Game. Bring Your A Game.
Okay. Oh, I'm looking into it. Uh-huh.
Me too.
Okay, hey, and another one, another good one is Facebook.com/ King David Show, because you got a world government that wants to kill off 90% of the population through the food and water emitted on C-SPAN. And we got the videos and we got the evidence. So bring your A game, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
So it's bring your A game. Is that a person? Because I see a person.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking right now what it is.
Is bring your A game?
I looked it up. It's not.
Yeah, like you gotta watch. Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah, I was looking at that just now. Like, see, that's why I have to have like they got the thing where you can screen calls. But see, since I'm doing it by myself on this switchboard, I can't really screen them. Queen and Farmer, you do your show once a week?
Yeah, I do it every Sunday, 6:00.
You're sitting at 6:00. What you talk about on your show?
Anything and everything. Anything, you know, I cuss like a sailor, right?
So, oh, shoot, that's cool.
I go off like I went off. But see, the thing is, I use Skype, and Skype is not a good thing to use on Blog Talk Radio. I'm finding that I always break up and stuff.
Well,
so.
let me tell you something. I'm using Skype right now.
I know it works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. If you was to listen to my last show, you'll see I'm breaking up like crazy. But what I did was today I went and found a headset, which I'm using right now, that I use with my cell phone. And I told them when I talked to Blog Talk today, and I'm going to tell you guys about it too, it's really, really good because I don't like putting a cell phone up to my ears. And so I went and found this headset at and I'm pulling it out the bag because I had put it in a garbage bag to throw the thing away because I just bought it. But it's a H250, and it's by Logitech, and you get this other little adapter that goes with it, and you just stick it right in your cell phone, and then you plug the other two, the audio and the other piece inside that little adapter, and man, it's a headset you put on your head. You got a little microphone, and it works perfect. So I'm gonna utilize both of those, because I have a standalone mic that I use on my show, as well as use the cell phone as a backup. So and you still use Skype, so you always gotta have your backup on your shows. You know, but I can't find a page that he said. He said bring your A game, right?
I looked at what he said. It had nothing to do with no cyber stalking from what I looked at.
Right, because I see a guy bring your A game, and it's a guy with a hat on.
Last week, you can ask Gabriella. The dude said about injecting marijuana, remember that?
Yeah, last week.
That was funny. That was so funny. He's like, yeah, I'll be injecting marijuana in my system. And that was the first time I ever had somebody call my show acting a fool like that. I was like, what? I say I was laughing. I was like, "This guy is a fool."
Wow.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let me just say this to you on Facebook. If you just put in cyberbullying on Facebook in the search engine, it's a whole lot of stuff that comes up. Okay.
Harvey, I know you dropped in. Yeah, I see you back. Do you have a fan page, Queen of Fama?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I don't like Facebook, but I do have a page because I'm a jewelry designer. So I do have a page on Facebook, but I detest Facebook. I really don't like it. And the only thing that, you know, I put my jewelry up and then some things I post to YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, I do favorites and that goes over to Facebook. And but generally, I don't really go on Facebook, you know. Just things.
I like my fan page. I have a regular Facebook for friends and family, people I know. You know, even mm-hmm. it's a few people from YouTube that I've been knowing for a long time is on my personal Facebook. And then okay. I have my fan page where anybody can go to. I don't care. You just click the like button. That's kind of what I tell anybody. If you have Facebook or something public, do a fan page. Not something that you have people adding as friends, because some people, you know, are nosy. You know, or want to see what's on you. Because matter of fact. Harvey, that chick and your boy Painless was trying to get on my personal page one time. I'm like, oh no, now one of y'all.
Wow,
my page.
Wow. I have a Facebook page, but I'm afraid I don't go on it because the way Facebook is now, they change it. Matter of fact, I got
timeline.
An email the other day. That timeline, they want to put your full name up there, and I'm like, no, that's a little too much. And see, like Sister said, and by me being former military, it's all about government. The big mm-hmm. brother's watching everybody, and now they got
Facebook
where
Facebook public traded.
Exactly, and now
do you know what's on that timeline? Let me tell you about that timeline. Do you know on that timeline that it was? I didn't notice that in Facebook terms of service, that timeline can be used against you in the court of law.
Exactly.
Really?
Jobs,
oh yeah.
Jobs
I didn't
now,
know that till the other day. Like
nothing,
in terms of service.
And jobs now, they can fire you for what you put on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, oh yeah, they can
do that. So your mm-hmm. personal time ain't your personal time. There's been a lot of people who've lost their jobs within the last 4 to 5 years because of YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and the Instagram stuff now. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why would you? First of all, I've thought about doing a fan page, but I still don't trust it because they still come into your same IP address. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. But so, like I said, it depends on what you're posting. If you're just posting your videos, you're just posting little generic stuff, it's no big. You're not talking about nobody in particular, nothing personal. You know, you're basically just using that as a form of advertising. That's how I look at it, as a form of advertising, mm-hmm. what you're doing.
Well, can I ask a question about a fan page? Okay, I have a page that's my Earth and Ocean Jewelry Designs page. Is that what you call a fan page?
Yeah, the one you got to click like.
Let's see, that's up at the top where it says.
Well, you know
like.
The ones that say click the like button? That's a fan page. Or business page, or whatever you want to call it.
I see a little thing say likes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you gotta click the like button. There's no ad friend. It's just all you do is click the like button. You can like it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got one of those.
That's what you should have. I wouldn't have nothing or nobody coming to. You know, your personal stuff and seeing what pictures you're putting up or your family or anything. Because I don't want nobody YouTube knowing, you know, who my family is and my personal life. No.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Well, I got a lot of personal pictures up of my family.
Because people have been asking me to post up my military pictures. And I had to say no because that's other military men and women on those pictures that I don't have their permission to be using the images. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I almost did it. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm giving a little too much information. I was bad enough. Everybody know my first name. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
You have to be careful. But, you know, like I said, at first I didn't mind people seeing my image. But then you start to realize you got some crazy people out here. And like I said, how can I put this? I don't want to sound cocky. I served in the military. I served in the war. And I did things that I hope I don't have to repeat again. But if somebody was ever to try to do something to me, it won't end pretty for them. You know, and that's why I keep trying to tell people, don't make these threats to me. Because I take threats very, very seriously.
Me too.
And I keep telling you, you know, right now we saw how just the last 3 weeks how white folks been talking about they want to assassinate the president. I mean, they openly say they want to assassinate the president of the United States. So me and you, they ain't going to think twice about it. You know what I mean?
It depends on your topics too, because like for instance, the topics you talk about, Harvey. Oh yeah, they're coming right at you. You know, like I've learned from you, I've learned from a bunch of different brothers and sisters about what you can and cannot say, or how to say it, and how to give it in doses. It's not that I'm like afraid to say something, because like when I was telling you a story about different people saying, "Oh, I saw you on YouTube," I was like, "Now I'm really like, you know, oh shoot, okay, I better make sure what I'm saying." I got to say it in a way that, you know, either it's going to go over the head or, you know what I'm saying? Because you just never know who's going to just see that stuff. You just never know sometimes.
And And I was telling people tell me I should come harder. I said, if I come harder, y'all do me like Malcolm X and them, and people don't get the reference. You know, like I got one of my subscribers said, you should get in politics. I said, y'all never see me again.
Now, they had somebody tell me that recently, too. You should get in politics because the way you talk to the people on your that Black Friday video I put up, they say, oh, you interact with people real well. You should be in politics. I say, no, I don't lie too well for that. So, you know, you're a lot in politics.
I don't lie. I mean, that's why I lie. Cause, I mean, you know, like you said, you watch what you say. I mean, it's some things that I be want to say, and that videos that I make and I don't even post. I'm like, nah, I can't say that.
I've done that too. I've done whole videos and thought about posting them and said, nah, I can't put that video up. You know, having these people, you know, they tell you, you should do this, you should do that. Like, why don't they go do it then? They want you to be their ambassador.
Why don't they go hard? Exactly, because I give you a perfect example. Today I came across an article about one of the guys in the Israeli army dressed up in blackface. And I did the video. And I mentioned how many times I said Jewish people, and I can't put that up because they say I'm anti-Semitic. They really take my channel down then.
Oh yeah,
so
they go down quick.
That's what I'm saying. You can't criticize them without them calling you anti-Semitic. So I said, if I do it, I got to redo the video and I got to watch my lane. And I said, there's no way in hell I can post that video up without calling them out on their BS. Like people want me to talk about what's going on with Israel. I'm like, y'all, I can't go there because.
Yeah, I stay away from that topic. But I owe you.
I can't do it because people already call me Farrakhan Jr. I'm like, I don't think I'm like Farrakhan because I ain't went hard on y'all. I ain't gonna lie, the last couple of videos I've been dropping blood at Blue Eyed Devil, but that's as far as I went. You know what I mean?
See what you just did? Stop and wait for a while before you do that again. You got to do it in doses. You can't keep doing it because then you're going to draw that crowd back to you. That's what I figured it out. You can talk about topics, but you got to do it in doses.
Yeah, right. You got to break it slow because, like you said, people be sending me, talk about this. I'm like, I go to their channel, no videos up. I'm like, why you want to make me sacrificial lamb?
And then these people just want you to, you know, sometimes get things started because they'll tell you to do something, you do it, and then they go to somebody else and say, oh, this and that and the third, and now you wondering, like, well, I got a problem with somebody all of a sudden. You know, what's going on with that? You know, because they got because I'm leery of people sending me stuff that ain't got no videos and no pictures. I'm like,
because this sister sent me something about the sister that we was talking about. And they said something in the video, and I'm not going to mention it because I don't know how true it is, right? And I caught myself that, nah, when you say people stop bringing you gifts, too many gifts, you better watch out because they be setting yourself up. Like, I give you a perfect example. And I ain't taking no sides because I watch both sides, like stuff people try to say about you and Tommy. I said, I think they sent Tommy off. Got Tommy had been attacked so much now, he has snapped on every, you know what I mean? And I'm watching. I'm like, I don't think brother is doing that, but I said I stay out of this whole conversation. And I'm watching people send him messages on his channel. I'm like, these are shit stars.
I saw that too. And I was like, you know, I got to a point like that. I don't really want to get deep into it. I mean, me and him had a long talk, but I don't want to get into that. But I just got to a point about certain things that I just been kind of turned off. Well, I don't want to go into it, but.
I know that's why I'm dancing around it because what happened this summer when Tommy and that sister had issue, a lot of black women, now the ones who didn't sub to me, didn't said I was supposed to hate black women, which I never said I hated black women. They wanted me to go jump on this brother. I'm like, wait a minute, whoa. Then I had white people, and like I said, I don't know how I can tell, but you can tell when white people are trolling. It's just something they do different than black trolls. It's hard to explain it, but you know the difference.
The same thing happened to me too. I kept getting messages from people, and even you know a sister in particular. Like I said, I'm cool with her, but she kept sending me messages talking about say something about that situation. And I say I ain't got nothing to do with that. That has nothing to do with me. I say I mean he didn't ask me.
We all know how it started. If you've been following, we all know how stuff started on you. At least I put it like this. Those of us who are in the know or aware of these things, because you got a lot of people oblivious to things. And they kept texting me, why don't you talk about this? I'm like, why do y'all want me to jump in something with two other adults? Now, it's different if this person was going around YouTube like that sister's doing me. You know, I know she was going around messing with a lot of people. That was a totally different situation. But this sister and Tommy, that was, they think, a matter of fact, Tommy sent me a message, thank you for not getting involved in this. You know, because I thought it went too far when you start releasing people personal information. Now, that right there, I think that you should go to jail for that.
Yeah, it got that. You know, and my thing about all that stuff, too, you know, it's like some people, in 9 times out of 10, who's getting it started, like I said, it's those who don't make videos, don't have pictures, don't have nothing. If we would take the attitude, like, look, if you don't even put your face up nowhere, we don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Don't come tell me, like, you know, the first time that, you know, a video was made about me or whatever. I had, like, I don't know, about 15 messages come my way. Oh, you heard this, you heard that. I'm like, I said, I don't care. And then, like, I had people from my fan page. You going to do this, you going to do that? And then I kept responding back. I am not about to attack another brother and sister online. Sorry, I'm just not doing it.
Right.
I say, they can say whatever they want to say about me. I do not care. I say, I'm not going to provide entertainment for other people. To laugh at two black men trying to knock each other off.
As long as they don't threaten me. As long as they don't threaten me, we all good. I don't care, you know, what is being said. Like I said, my whole goal is to bring the facts about any conversation. You know, and if you ain't got the facts right, and I know the facts, I'm going to bring the facts. That's just, you know, how I roll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my videos, I tell people, if you don't agree with me or believe me, you go do your research. I know you probably heard me say that in my videos before. I'm not always right. You know, go out there, go to the library, go Google it. You know, trust your instincts. Because the reason why I do these videos, because I'm not going to lie to you, when I came back home from Iraq, and you know, my father told me this before I went to the Army. He said, if you survive basic training in war, everything is pretty simple. So when I came back home, and I'm watching our people do the dumb things, I'm like, what's wrong with our people? And I'm like, maybe somebody need to spread a little knowledge. Something, you know, I think everybody has something to add to our community, but we too busy being selfish. So when I started doing these videos and people started telling me they never thought about it that way, or they said finally somebody feel the way I do, and it inspired me. But I guess I got too close to reaching people, and people hate that because, you know, first it was the white trolls. They came, nigger, why are you talking? You want them smart niggers. We got to deal with you. You know, and then somebody got my email. I'm like, how the hell did they get my email address? I said, it had to be somebody at YouTube or Google doing this. And then eventually you step on one of your brothers or sisters' toes because they figured, oh, he's getting too many views or she's getting too many views. And
I know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the first people to try to take you down is black folks. They'd be the first ones. I always tell people I worry more about black folks than I worry about racist white folks. I'll tell you that.
Hello. Yes, you know, I mean, because those are the people I'm more in contact with, you know what I'm saying, is black people. So my thing is that I think that, you know, when it comes to black folk, and I was talking about this on my show last night, is I don't understand people always proud of being from the hood. I don't understand that, because the hood, in my opinion, ain't nothing to be proud of. You know, now the pride would come in and cleaning up the hood, you know, picking up the paper, fixing all the raggedy stuff in there and stuff like that, because all of that is our doing, you know, black folk doing. You know, that white man ain't dropping no paper in your neighborhood and doing none of that. Y'all doing that. So, you know, my thing is take responsibility for the shit that you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And then you can focus on some other stuff. But right now, you got to focus on your own stuff and what you're doing in your own communities, in your own neighborhoods, in your own homes. You know what I'm saying? So you have to look at yourself first. And then once you clean your closet out, then you can go and chart somebody else up. But until you do, that's why, you know, the respect level for the black community is so low. Is because it seems like we do a lot of whining and crying, but we got stuff in our communities that we can take care of ourselves, and we just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, I did a video. I'm actually on each of my channels. I talked about the gun violence in our community, and I said, why are we so hardwired to say we don't need somebody in our community dealing with the crime? It's like we tell ourselves, well, we can't do something. Like, some people got mad at me talking about we need to deal with the gangs like we do with any other terrorists. And you know how many black people came and taught me a sellout?
I know.
Oh. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. They said, well, you fall in the white man army. But I said, but you still on the white man corner selling his drugs. So we both work for the man. So which one, you know? And I'm sitting there, and people was threatening me because I said, don't you get tired of turning on the news, hearing about a little 5-year-old or a 30-something-year-old or a senior citizen being shot or robbed, living in their own community. And I think that's probably why a lot of I got to get a lot of these trolls, black trolls. And I probably have to define them as black trolls. Because like I said, you can tell the difference between a white troll and a black troll.
That Detroit 300, you know, them brothers came together. And, you know, like I said, I follow their community page, too. And, like, I messaged them on, like, Facebook because I'm trying to get in contact with them brothers. I like to try to see if I can get at least somebody out of that organization on the show, man, because I'm like, I want to know what them brothers are doing. I mean, because they're very inspiring.
But you know what? Right. What the sad part is, I did a video about that, and you had people criticizing them, but you praised the guardian angels, men and women just walk around with red berets, standing at L platforms or train platforms. And I don't understand. It seems like we're hardwired to turn on the people who actually want to see our community do better.
Right. And you know, I know a brother who was a guard who was one of the guardian angels too from the internet. And I think that, you know, like I said, I'm just like, you know, I look around the community. Like I live in a community here in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, you know, me and my neighbors, we actually have conversation about things. I mean, we ain't chummy all up in each other's houses. But when something that's out of order, we get together and we get it back in order. And that's how we maintain a semblance of peace in our neighborhoods. I live in something that people would probably describe as a project. You know what I'm saying? But it's safe. Because we maintain it like that, and we be on management, you know what I'm saying, and the aldermen and all of those kind of people, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, if you don't protect yourself, if you don't clean up your own neighborhood, nobody else is going to do that. And like I said about my management, they don't live here, we live here. So that means that we have to push them to do their jobs, simple as that. You know, and like I said, a lot of times people are just lazy. They don't want to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? And then you got everywhere I look, I drive to the other communities and blocks and stuff, you see all these teddy bears around trees and all these memorials and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, these things are happening on blocks that we live on. Why? You know who these people are. Why are we harboring these criminals in our neighborhoods? You know,
well, I don't know. Ask those women why that's trying to sue them, the Detroit 300. Why they want them there? I know why they want them there. I heard. Let me tell you something. One of the craziest thing I heard on that show Hardcore Pawn. Yeah, where this woman was coming there to pawn something, and they say, "What you pawning there for?" And say, "Oh, I got to pawn this to get my man out of jail. He worth more to me out than he is in there because." Because she want him out so he can be on the block, selling dope, making money. So you got these, some of these women too that benefit from these guys being thugs.
Absolutely. I mean, not only do they benefit, you know, they benefit. They also have sons that are engaged in this kind of behavior too. So as mothers, they want to protect their sons, like the woman who killed the young man who killed that girl. He's a good boy. No, he not. He's not a good boy. He's a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you knew mm-hmm. something was wrong with him all through the flick. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, so how could you just stand there and say, oh, he's a good boy? No, he's not. And you know he never was. There's something that was wrong with him all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, And I don't try to, you know, just because they're women, take up for them, because, like I said, women are some of the biggest culprits in maintaining these types of people. You know, it's their man, their son, or some kind of relative or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, look, I will turn in my mama. That's just how I am. You know what I'm saying? She got to go. If she's causing harm, she got to go. My daddy, he would have to go. It's just as simple mm-hmm. as that. You know, I don't have loyalty where it comes to the safety of other people. You know, I mean, that's just as simple as that. you know?
Well, my father told me and my brother when he was growing up, and I had to say this, and I know I don't want to offend anybody, but having your father around makes a big difference. My father told me and my brother, if you go out there and mess up.
But he got to be interactive, right?
That's what I'm saying. My father's still in my life. Matter of fact, today, me and my father had like an hour conversation. My father told me and my brother, he said, look, I know you two. He said, I know what you do, what you want. But go out there and mess up, you're going to stay in jail. He said, I'm not having it. When I got 18, I had to go on my own because my father said, I'm not going to coddle a grown man. The problem is in our community, men are being coddled till they 25, 35 years old. And then when women get tired of them, they're like, you're not a real man, but you gave them cover all these years.
Right.
Now
right.
If you put them out there, they don't know anything about being a man. They think being a man is mean mugging in front of a camera and shooting a gun. That's all they think. And then now you got women have taken their sons and made them to their boyfriends, and then they've been around enough but women, their sexuality confused. You got a lot of gay brothers out here.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there saying, and I don't want anybody to take what I'm saying. I'm not knocking anybody. It's just that I see that our people have gone backwards the last 25 to 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's painful to watch.
I agree
it's
with that.
It's painful because, like I said, I come from a two-parent home, and my mother, she died in 2004. My father, he's still in his children's life. And I'm telling you, he's not in the best of health anymore, but every time I do something, I'm like, what am my father going to think? What am my father going to do? You know what I mean? I'm a grown man because at a young age, he instilled that, hey, look, I'm the man of this house. If you think you're grown, get your own. And when I hit that age where I'm taking care of myself, like I tell my younger brother and sister, if I can go back 20 years, I'd be in a heartbeat. Because when I was in high school, thinking about it, I had no issues. My issues are trying to get a girl to like me and get money to go out to the movies. You know, and our people, I don't know, we didn't got so enamored with what other people have. We want the nice, big, fancy car, the high-priced clothes. And all we doing is slowly killing our numbers.
I'm going to tell you the secret. I'm going to tell you the secret what happened. You want to know what happened to our people, I'm going to tell you what happened to our people. And I'm not trying to be offensive to nobody. But black folks raise their kids a certain way. Now, when black folks start raising their kids like a lot of white people raise their kids, that's when our kids are going crazy. And it started.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you where it started. It started in them schools. Your mama can't be, or daddy can't be whipping you. That's child abuse. Tell us if they whip you and we'll put them in jail. And that start happening, and then they start giving these little black kids this little power they never had in their life. They know back in the day, your mama and daddy would break a switch off their tree and tear your behind up. You know what switch weapons I got?
Brother,
growing up.
I'm going to tell
but you.
But
you know what, though?
1987, that's when it started. Now, I remember back in the day, your mother and father would come up to you with a damn switch or a stitch cord and whip your ass in front of the kids, and they didn't say nothing. But once black teachers started teaching these white kids, and they couldn't take a black man or black woman chastising one of these white kids. They said, no, we want to change this. And like you said, for the last 20 years, we didn't see the change. And there were brothers and sisters out here warning us of this stuff. What's that sister, Zach? She wrote a book, The God to Understand the Black Man, The God to Understand the Black Woman. Yes, and she warned this was going to happen. She said, 20
didn't they
years,
marginalize her? You're like, didn't they like just attack her?
Well, actually, with Shaharzad, because I know her. Well, I don't know her, but she and I have been in communication. She's actually been a guest on my show. Is that Shaharzad wrote two books? She wrote the Guide to Understanding the Black Man Understanding the Black Woman, and the Guide for the Black Woman to Understand the Black Man. Nobody really knows about the Black Man book. But everybody knows about the Black Woman book, and there's only one line in that book that they focused on, and that was the slap in the mouth statement. But see, I've commented several times on this, is you had to read the whole context of what she was talking about, because she was speaking of disrespectful women. You know, you understand, and you know there are women that loud talk men on the street, disrespect men on the street. You know, and now men just hitting them now. They just popping them in the mouth and knocking them out and uppercutting them and everything else. But see, like the brother said, she warned about this when she wrote that book. a long time ago, but they literally drug that sister through the mud, had her on Phil Donahue's show and everything else about the stuff that she wrote in that book. And like I said, I don't take everything that anybody writes, but she had elements of truth in that book, The Black Man's Guide to the Black Woman. There were elements of truth in that book that black women just didn't want to face up to, that I had to face up to myself as I read that book. And I was like, do I do that? And everything she listed, I asked myself, do you do that? Do you do that? So you have to do inventory of yourself. And a lot of people do not want to turn that finger on themselves and look at their own behavior and be honest about what they're doing. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when the rock hit them, they go holler. It's you. It's you.
Yeah,
that's doing it.
Because I read both books. I read both books. And I, matter of fact, I got the guy. Somebody took the black man book. And like you said, sometimes you got to turn that finger on you. And what she was saying about black men not stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do, we haven't been doing it. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. During the civil rights movement, we let other people outside, meaning white women, come in and co-opt our sisters. And they told the black women that your black man's keeping you down, when in fact it was their white man doing all the dirt. But the fact is, sisters, they fell for their sisterhood, and now those very same white women, their daughters and granddaughters, are the ones putting lawsuits about affirmative action. They out here saying these hateful things. Because if you notice, when that white girl said she wanted to assassinate President Obama, you notice no white man came out and did. It was nothing but white women leading the way on that. And look what's going on with Chris Brown and Rihanna. Chris Brown and Rihanna tried to get back together, and the whole incident started. It was white women leading the charge. And so when the sister was warning back 20-something years ago, I remember this, that she was on Donahue, Sally Garrido. It was white women telling black women, yo, she's out here telling men to hit you, and that wasn't what she was saying. And like the sister said, it's all about context. And you fast forward now, you got these kids that are out of control. This is why you get the cyber stalking, the cyber bullying, the mass murders in our community. Because people joke about Chicago calling it Chirac, and people think that's cute. I was not right. There ain't nothing to laugh about, make fun of. You know, I don't know why our people think this stuff is cute.
But you know what, though? I'm going to tell you, it started more than 20 years ago, because I'm almost 60. So it started more than 20 years ago. It started like back in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you will see a certain age group that has a certain type of psychology that I've been noticing. I've been paying close attention to a certain age group, you know. And, you know, the thing about, see, I think, you know, one of the things I think about feminism, and I just want to put this out here right quick, is that the whole thing about feminism has been misconstrued totally, you know, from its concept. It went, and what people really don't understand is there's a whole lot more to the propelling of this particular propaganda, and you know, people who have problems with their significant others and people in general of the other gender, they latch onto that because they feel with disappointment and hate and all those types of things like that. And so subsequently we have these things that they call quote-unquote gender wars, but you only see them amongst black people. You don't see gender wars
I got to interject on that. Talking about this gender war. That gender war, just keep it real. That gender war stuff is only an online thing because I'm sorry. Like, if I go out in the street, I don't be fighting with no black woman on the street. I really don't. I mean, the way they talk online is like you see a black woman and a black man, they out there just duking it out for World Star Hip Hop.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
That's an online thing.
That's propaganda, sweetheart. See, that's the thing, Brother Advice. That's propaganda. And the problem with it is that it embeds in the psychology of the people who's looking at it online, and they take that psychology and they apply it in their lives offline. You know what I mean? I live in a community where I don't see nothing but white women and black men. I mean, I see so much of it now that it's almost normal, you know what I'm saying, that this happens. And I don't have anything against interracial relationships. Really, I don't. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's your business. But what I'm saying is that I see the fuel that's happening, and being part of my community where I sit on panels, and we used to have like mega panels about black male female relationships. And one thing I can say is at the end of every one of those sessions that I've ever sat on, there has never been a resolution ever, because no one wants to take blame for the shit that they do, you know. And the thing is that I'm so stuck on personal responsibility. You know, I'm really stuck on me, you know, mm-hmm. and what I do, period. You know, simple as that.
Yeah, yeah, you got to take personal responsibility of your particular actions. And it's sad that what I'm about to say is, you know, I know a lot of times we want to reach out and help out, you know, our people and do stuff like that. But, you know, not all going to be saved. And unfortunately, we're not no savior, because every time somebody try to stand up, they want to take you out. So it's like, right. You know, you can help the people that want to hear you. You know, it's kind of like let he who has the ear, let him hear. You know, that's one of them
right.
deals.
Mm-hmm.
And just go on, because there's some
right.
people, like I say, they love to be on welfare. They love to
right.
be thugs. They love to be hood rats spitting out 4 or 5 kids on the system. You get what I'm saying? They got people that actually like that lifestyle. And the problem is...
I don't know if it's so much now, particularly in this state, as it used to be, because this used to be a big, big welfare state. I mean, people used to come from out of state here just to get the welfare benefits. You know, so
there
was
some. Now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was some incentive for being on welfare. I think they're kind of slowly taking those incentives away. Like women used to just have a baby just so they can have another amount on their checks and stuff like that. But they're kind of, you know, like going away from that. But the damage really has been done. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the damage mm-hmm. from all of that, you know, where they take the jobs away, where, you know, men can't find sustaining jobs. And, of course, we're all living up to these certain societal standards of manhood and womanhood, which I like to pick apart and break apart. You know, to define exactly what does that mean, and, you know, that the black man has been marginalized as far as his ability to find decent work where he can actually take care of a family, where, you know, we have to go all the way back to our beginnings here. And, you know, it's just doing a walk through history, I think, honestly, would alert people to the real situation that we're in. But we're just too focused on, I think, blame to really, really get down to the crux of the problems. And the problems lie within each and every one of us. And we have to take a look at ourselves, you know, and what we're doing, our thoughts. You know, which dictate our actions. So, I, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to save nobody, okay? And I really could give two shits about other people at this particular point. I judge each and every person as an individual, how you treat me. And I watch how you treat others, because I know mm-hmm. eventually that's how you will treat me. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
You know, so, you know,
I'm sorry, sister. I apologize.
That's okay, brother. That's okay.
No,
I'm
sorry, it's a delay. My phone is acting up real mm-hmm. funny. But I was about to add to that, you know, about the saving our people. A lot of people think I'm doing my videos because I want to come out there and play. I want to be a leader. I want to save. No, no, no. There are people out there who are thirsty for knowledge but don't know where to go, who to turn to. Because, matter of fact, this young brother, 20 years old, no, I think he's 18 or 20. I can't remember now. He subbed to my channel, and he told me, he said he wished there was more men around him that was talking about subjects, because I just don't talk about race. I mean, I can find a way to connect, because there's always some connection. But when I talk about business, religion, politics, relationship, it's because, whether we know it or not, every part of that affects the black community. People don't understand, if you don't control your dollars, that means you don't control where you lay your head at.
That's true.
When it comes into the community, what you go to buy, how much you spend. If you don't talk about relationships, you don't talk about your mother-father relationships, because people don't realize your relationship with your mother-father sometimes determines your relationships with your spouse or the person
True.
You with at that moment. And mm-hmm. then people don't talk about education, saying that how we've been constantly miseducated. Like I say, the black church has really let our people down. I know some religious people out here, Mo. I know I'm going to offend somebody. But every Sunday, you get a congregation, y'all say, you know, we're going to talk about this week. We got all year to talk about Jesus. Why don't we talk about buying these abandoned buildings or creating our own farms within our city? Why don't we try to go out here and say, okay, you got brothers and sisters that was in the military, could probably show us how to defend ourselves. So when little punks try to do this, we're going to make them think twice about coming on a block. I mean, these are things that we can do, but we're so selfish. We've been so indoctrinated with this American dream. We see advertised on TV every night, and we can't. We figure, I got to have it. When I was a kid, I used to think that if I didn't get any Jordans, I was going to die. So when I got old enough to buy a pair of Jordans and really look at them, like, I would never buy another pair of shoes like that, because you start to realize what the real world is going to be like. And I think a lot of our people are just haven't grown up or don't want to grow up. And then another thing, I think our people are still traumatized from when King was taken out, Malcolm and the Panthers and stuff. So we're afraid. That's why everybody's throwing stuff on President Obama. He never said he was the black president. He never said he was the civil rights president. If you, and you know, I mean, these are things that we don't pay attention to as black people. This is why everybody makes fun and laugh like, you people are foolish. How many times are you going to keep doing the same stuff over again, getting the same results? You know, I mean.
That's the definition of insanity. You just call the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I don't really
doing the same thing
and, you know,
and getting the same results. That's insanity.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the fabric, the image of black people have been sullied since the Reconstruction. Not Reconstruction. Yeah, probably Reconstruction. And it's all been visual, and it's all been done through the media and things like that. Because I don't, you know, I know you guys don't remember because you're too young. But you know, all of the negative images that was created of black people that made black people even hate themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all of this imagery that has been created against black people, spread all across the world, where even black ass Africans that come from Africa got some kind of prejudice against black people here in America, where they say we're lazy, we don't want to work, you know, black people don't want to do this, and black people don't want to do that. And these are people from the continent that come over here with, you know, and do well. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to put that on record. They come over here and get busy. And that's why I just, you know, fail to understand, you know, when people say there are no opportunities. Yes, there are opportunities. You create opportunities. And as far as, you know, here in Milwaukee, I just want to say that they've spent a whole lot of money here on the social aspect in Milwaukee. I remember they had this piece of area where they had built this, they got some money from the Weed and Seed Grant, right? And so they had this area where we could go out and have us a little garden and grow our, you know, vegetables and stuff like that. Shit, guess who out there now in that same plot? Them damn Hmongs, them damn Asians. They out there digging and going to the market and selling that shit to us. But we had it first. It was designed for black people, okay, to go out there and make their own gardens and stuff like that. I mean, we miss opportunities. So,
we allow opportunities to walk away. We don't hold on to it. When other groups get these opportunities, they lock down like a pit bull dog on them. They don't let them go, and wish they should.
I remember when I was a kid. I'm sorry.
What you say?
West sister.
I'm sorry. I haven't even. Okay. To be honest with you, I think for the most part, black people don't want to change. And
ooh, she right.
If
yes.
you think,
tell
I mean, this
it.
Is
she right. She right.
Tell it.
How
tell
I
it.
Feel. Mm-hmm. This is really how I feel because there has. I'm really sick of this because there's so many opportunities. You can't say that. Oh well, black. I mean, we're out here to fail. There's no chance for us to do better because just like she, the sister just said. You know, there's been people that come out in the community and they'll, you know, they'll open up a Boys and Girls Club. They'll do
right.
all kinds of things in the community. And what
right.
do? We sit there and we'll reject it and say, oh, that's for white people. That's boring. That's stupid. Even when it comes to things like mental illness and things like that.
Right.
It seems like we just want to be perpetual victims. Like, we want to sit there and just stay in our situation. You know how there's that, I forgot what it's called, but people would rather just stay in their comfort zone. And they would rather just they would rather just live paycheck to paycheck because it's comfortable.
Right.
That's what they're used to.
Right.
Instead of sitting
right.
there and going out, getting a job, busting their ass. Maybe they got to have 10 people living in a one-bedroom apartment for a little while.
Mm.
You know, it's,
right.
it's hard, but that's what the foreigners do. They come in here, like, I mean, my stepdad is from Africa. He came here, he had to sleep on somebody's couch, and he
that's
was paying
right.
rent for it.
Mm.
You know, he's sleeping mm. on somebody's couch, and, you know, he went from there to working at the World Bank. So you can't sit there and say that there is no opportunities out there, because
right.
there are.
And you know something
but
else?
We don't want them. We just want to sit there and be lazy.
You know,
and be on Worldstar Hip Hop and doing twerk team.
Right. Here's mm-hmm. another thing, too. You know, they always come crying and complaining. We don't have nothing for our youth to do. First of all, I be trying to figure out who these youth is, because some of them look like grown folk to me. And they are grown people. But anyway, we don't have anything for our youth to do. But every time they open up a new center, give them a new skating ring, try to have nighttime basketball, the first thing they do is shoot up, fight up, and destroy it and tear it up. So things have been created, but, you know, I'm with the sister. They don't want to do better. I just
you know
there
what
are
I'm
some
say.
People who just don't want to do better.
That's what we
I'm
going to
tell you this. I'm a baby of the 70s, child of the 80s. When I was a kid, We stood on our front porch, or we ran up and down the sidewalk, or played in the backyard, or got an old basketball, old bike rim, took the spokes out, made a rim. Why these kids need so much stuff nowadays? Our parents and great-grandparents, they have jack, and they had better common sense. My grandfather wasn't even allowed to go to school, but he can count his money. He had common sense. My father is 64 years old, grew up through Jim Crow. He was not that far from Emmett Till was murdered, but he didn't go up there cooning and buffooning. Anybody born in the 1950s, born to this point, should have no reason to complain and whine. I mean, we know it's racism out here, but we should be wise enough to navigate this now.
Right.
What we're doing is where we didn't got lazy. We want somebody to save us. I'm sorry, they're never going to let another black man or black woman get in front of his people again. Because what they're going to do, they're going to vilify him. Think about every black man that's made money and became famous. At some point, they vilified him. And then when they finish, they throw him back to the community.
We won't reparations.
Yeah, and then there's other things, too. You're talking about people want to stay the same, like in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all talking about that? Now, it would trip me out, and I hate to even see this comment on YouTube. It's like, why y'all want to do videos about telling us about what we could do, get some jobs, do this, do that? Why we got to be doing videos to tell you where to get a job from? You can't
exactly.
go find a resume and get your lady stuff
you,
out that house? Would you, what,
you
I'm going to say something on YouTube and do it for you? You're lazy.
You get up, just know how to get a job.
Enough on heaven. It doesn't work that way. We can't just sit there and give opportunities. It doesn't
like,
work that
opportunities
way.
Don't come to you. You go get opportunity. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. That's how it works. See, I don't know what's up with this handout stuff, you know, and I think that you got your black nationalists, you know, and I consider myself a black nationalist, but in a different context. But these people, a lot of them preaching with reparations for slavery. Slavery was legal. Okay, let's talk about, if we're going to talk about reparations, let's talk about the what happened after slavery to black people, where they were legally bound by black laws and codes that kind of held them back. If you're going to talk about it, then let's talk about it from that standpoint, not from a standpoint where it was a legal enterprise, because it was legal, so ain't nothing you can get from that. But the bottom line is they're not going to give up any reparations at the end of the day.
I'm not getting no reparations.
Wasted.
Dude, you remember when Dave Chappelle did that skit about black people getting reparations? That's exactly what would happen.
That's
exactly what niggas would do.
Yeah.
I believe
you. I'm going to tell you something else that we... And I say something else that we do as a people, and maybe y'all might disagree with me.
Don't say we. I'm not saying y'all per se, I'm talking about
you know, the people listening, you know. I mean, I'm just being facetious.
No problem.
What I was about to say is something we gotta stop doing is talking about ourselves in a negative, using negative terms. I hate it when we call our community ghettos. We don't live in no ghettos. We live in communities that we don't maintain. A ghetto It doesn't have running water. It doesn't have a garage pickup. It doesn't have lights. We use these negative terms. We tell our, we use terms like baby mama, baby daddy. I give you an example. I don't know if y'all saw on News 1. They was talking about Halle Berry and the two guys, right? You know what they called Arby, you know what they said? They didn't say baby daddy. They said Halle's child's father.
Wow.
They put negative terms. And I picked up on that. And I'm going to post that video up on my site. I said, a lot of people, we don't pick up on terms. We don't pick up the imaging. Like, if a lot of black folks out here buying this rap and understand who's pushing it, no other group of people put negative images on their people. We got people saying, I'm a nigga. Really?
Ooh,
do you know people die because of that word? And you embracing this?
I gotta say this about the word nigga. I gotta say it. Do you know? Okay, the thing now is they're taking the word back, brother. Okay, this is the thing. And because the white man don't know that it's really niggas, and they're talking about blacks as gods. I mean, it's the most ridiculous shit. And they find everything with that sound like a nigga, nig, and they add all that stuff up. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm with you on the word nigga.
You talking about the word nigga. Do you notice that all races of people calling each other niggas now?
Yes, I've seen
Asian kids call each other nigga.
But you know
why they did that? You know what happened back in the 90s when
they
sent the albums and Tipper Gore, a lot of people forget, Vice President Al Gore's wife was going after rap. And these record companies, white people, let me say it right now, these Jewish record company owners, these producers, saw they can make money off rap by pushing these gangster images. But they didn't want their cash flow to get messed up, so they went and put these advisory things on, you see, on CDs and whatnot. And what happened was they realized it was a niche audience. White kids was buying this.
Mm-hmm.
So these rap artists started getting a lot of money. They said, wait a minute, I can make money by just saying nigga and bitch, and I'm going to keep doing it. And so young kids grow up listening, thinking that this is how I got to get rough. So when you see the brothers with the shirts off on the music covers, mean mugging, they've been told by record companies, this is what you do to sell. And a lot of people in our community don't realize there's more white people or people of other ethnicities that buy rap. We don't buy a lot of music.
No, we were dubbing tapes back in the day.
Exactly. Brothers and sisters won't get on bootleg. Cause you still got brothers and sisters out here who even have iPods. They still burning CDs. So I'm sitting up there saying, where's all this money we supposed to be spending on this filth? It's not us. You don't see nobody in the Jewish community putting out the word, I'm gonna kill a kike.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't use that. I don't hear nobody say I'm gonna kill a kike.
They made Michael Jackson change his lyrics.
He was actually defending the Jewish people. But the fact that he used that word kike, Jew me, sue me, everybody
sue me,
do me,
right.
Kick me,
that's
kike
right.
me, don't you black or white me. He was defending them. But they've been so conditioned that no black person should say anything. A lot of black people don't realize we get the margin for them bastards to go buy up everything. Now they didn't turn around and they done dumped on us. And then the Mexicans and the gays, they didn't learn. Now you got the gay people saying that blacks are more homophobic. How are we more homophobic? If I'm not mistaken, go to a black church. Who you see in the choir? Who you see walking the drag up and down the street?
Mm-hmm.
But see, we are so hell-bent on attacking each other, we don't even know who our real enemy is anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
I mean, that's
why when I do these videos, I don't do it for money. I do it because I see our people are so freaking naive, and some of our people are so hardwired to attack me, you, or the live show, anybody else is trying to put something out there. You may not always agree with our delivery, but you cannot deny what's going on. Because there are a lot of brothers and sisters that used to argue with me, and I said, wait till you get your nigga moment. Wait till they make you realize that they look at you as a nigga, and you're going to come crying to me. You should be some. If I would post all the messages I get on my YouTube channel, It makes you want to cry. It takes you getting treated a certain way for you to realize this is how the world sees you. I mean, think about it. Michelle Obama, I think she's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to make her look so ugly. What's that guy, Scott Bales, he put on Happy Days? He called her a monkey.
Nobody in our community got mad at that white man calling our name. But here it is, if a brother say something to a sister, you just hate black women. Because we've been programmed
That's
to
not
each
true.
Other.
They did. People did get upset about that. Yes, they did. Black
people like
did.
You and people like me and people like you and
they
I.
They got upset about it. Let's keep the facts. Let's keep it real now.
We got people talked about it, but did we make him suffer? Well, I'm talking, I'll give you an example. Gwyneth Paltrow said, niggas in Paris for real. Did we complain to Paramount and Disney when they were shooting that Iron Man movie that she owes us an apology? Or we're not going to go support that movie if it comes out this year?
No.
We don't do that. White folks can say whatever they want to say and know, I apologize if I offended you. Donald Trump been saying stuff for 2.5 years. Did we go out there and tell NBC, look, or because Comcast owns NBC now. We're not going to buy your cable, DirecTV. We're not going to buy your system if you're going to carry Donald Trump's show. Other day, Cher, 60-something-year-old Cher came out and said something about Donald Trump. The owner of Macy said, Donald Trump is my friend. He's going to stay on as a spokesperson.
Huh.
Right then and there, Danny Post said, wait a minute, hold on. You're going to keep this racist dude on, and I'm helping you bring people in? I'm done. Derrick Rose bought an apartment in Chicago from Trump. You mean to tell me black people ain't hear what Trump been saying for the last 2.5 years?
Right.
Wait a minute, Hold on. Derrick Rose bought a property from Donald Trump, and Donald Trump be talking about black people like a dog, and he going to buy it from Donald Trump?
That's he don't think they're talking about them. See, that's what I'm saying, is that black people who have money, they don't think they're the black people that white people are talking about.
I got to what you're saying. Basically, what you're saying, I'm black. That's them niggas. He talking
right,
about
them. Right, that's them niggas. Right, that's them niggas. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, and that's what happens when you have a people that's disorganized. Because my thing is this, if black people should come together for any reason whatsoever, it's because we all come from the same source here in this country. Whether we were here when they got here or whatever, we were still put under the thumb of a white ruling class. And I think that, to me, should bring anybody together. Just like them damn Jews, you can't say nothing about the Jews. Okay, the Jews are still hunting us Nazis down. For what they did to them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, the whole issue with black people is black people's problem. It's our problem. It's our fault. And once we get our shit together, then we'll be able to see some changes going on. But until then, when you got niggas and Negroes and blacks and Hebrew Israelites and people who can't even come up with a concrete identity, you know, I mean, you go always have these kind of problems because you got too much division within the group. Too much division within the group, you know?
Like, I'm glad you brought that up. Like, I tell people, quit saying we're a minority. And I said, ask yourself, if we was truly a minority in this country, they wouldn't have been out there trying to suppress our vote. We have greater numbers than we realize. The problem is that, like you said, we're too divided. When people were saying 12 and 13% when you was a child. You know what I mean?
Right, tell
they
it, tell
when
it.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one minute they say we got high birth rates, but then they say we have high abortion rates. One of them got to cancel each other out.
Right.
It's common sense. I keep telling people, I say, open your eyes. These people, we're not the – look, we voted 93%. Then they kept talking about the Hispanics voted 71%. But guess what group voted higher than the Hispanics? Asian. So that means the Hispanics are not the overriding group in this country.
That
see
vote,
what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how can you count illegal people as being a part of this country? I don't care if your mom and dad stuck in this country. They're illegal. If my parents do something illegal, they don't give a damn about what happened to the family. Well,
hello?
The reason why we can't send them back. Wait, hold on. I done seen brothers and sisters go to jail for crimes they didn't commit, and they children go into the system. But somebody, Hector, Alejandro, and Maria come in here, get a baby, automatically American citizens. Wait a minute. They broke the law. My parents broke the law. We suffer. The problem is with us, we talk about coalitions. We talked about coalition with the Jewish community. We talked about coalition with the Asian community, the Arab community, the Mexican, now the Asian community. Every one of them has screwed us over.
Right, every one of them. And the thing about how can a broken people have a coalition with any damn body? You know, because everybody, self-preservation is a first law of nature. The Hispanics, if they ever had a coalition with us, it was because it was based on their own best interests. once they got a foothold in the system and started knowing how the system worked, they kicked black people so far to the curb that it's unbelievable. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something real quick about somebody said, I was watching the video about Black Wall Street, and somebody put a comment that I thought was real deep. Oh, it was a white guy. A white guy said that his grandfather always told him that no matter what you do to black people, they'll still be your friend.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you befriend a black person, because we are, you know, I mean, black people, for the most part, from what I said, are very conditioned people. But they're conditioned not to look out for their own best interests. I mean, they've been trained to always look out for other people's best interests, not their group best interests, but their individual best interests. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What serves them and not what would work for the group overall, which is why we live in the conditions that we live in. You know, when you look at it from a larger perspective, I mean, like I said, I just think that we have the power to do better. And like the sister said, we just don't want to. As many people don't want to. They're comfortable where they are.
I heard a sermon a long time ago that said that you got to have want to in life. If you don't want to, then you ain't going to do nothing. You know,
that's
true. You got to have a want to, you know. And
right.
So. Yeah, it's been a great show, and I appreciate everybody coming in and sharing a lot of good ideas. Queen of Farm, I need to check your show out because I didn't even know you did shows. I check a show out all the time. I've been on blog talk for a long time. I did not even know, but why I got you on here before I wrap this up, when I responded to you and said that about, you know, I hope I don't offend you and nothing like that, because usually on YouTube, people get so offended when you say something, you know, and you say, no, I'm not offended, you know. I say, good, I'm dealing with a mature adult. I say,
I don't get offended. I just like to stick with the facts and the truth of things. I don't get offended about anything, and I think that we can have intellectual discourse. I mean,
that's what it's supposed to be about. Like, when you're talking about video response and videos, it's like, I used to see people do that a lot. Like, at one point in time, like on YouTube, people used to video response people a lot, like trade ideas or go back and forth in an intellectual level. Now people do video responses to attack people.
Degrade
them. So it's like, you don't want to respond to too many people's videos anymore, because they take it like a diss. Instead of like, I just got different.
Yeah, that's true. They do. Yep, they do. They do take a.
That's why
I
would rather see me video response, because, you know, you do it. There's a lot of videos I would love to respond to, but, you know, it's like they take it like a diss, so it's like, you know what, I'm just going to leave it alone. But before I go, Harvey, I think you really need to put your spin on that Asia McGowan story.
Yeah, I was thinking about it when I saw your video earlier, because it hit kind of close to home to me. I mean, I hope to God nothing like that ever happens to me, but when you think about how that woman been harassing me for the whole year, I cannot not do a video about that, you know. So I'll probably have one up probably tomorrow, Wednesday. But like I said, all I want people to understand when I'm doing the videos is because I care about my people. I'm not trying to save my people. I'm just trying to pass on a little knowledge that I have to some brothers and sisters that actually want to listen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What's your channel?
It's, let's see, just at the one I got active, it's Mr. Superboy 222.
Okay, Mr. Superboy 222. Okay, I'll check it out.
I appreciate that. I check your videos out too. Cause, matter of fact, I saw the one the recent one you was on a bus trip coming to Chicago. So, you know.
Yeah, about that.
I saw that one already. Yeah.
And you know, I just want to say this to add too before your show closes, is that this subject, I find it interesting, brother. This subject, you ain't got hardly no listeners on this subject. But if you was talking about booty shaking or some kind of male-female type of relationship or something like that, your chat room would be full, your lines would be full. But when we start talking about things that really affect us as human beings or as men and women or as black men and women or black men and women or black children or something like that, you do not see anyone interested in that. Cyber stalking is real. Why people aren't on this show listening, because I know more than me and you and the brother and the sister been witnesses to cyber stalking. So what's really going on here?
Well, I think sometimes people listen. Like I have people a few people in the UK that listen to my show, and like they can only get it in the archives. Like I check my show report. I don't know if you look at. Are you a premium host?
I'm a premium host. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you look at your listen. Sometimes like after the show, a day or two later, you'll notice you listen. You know, you'll see like shoot, it got a whole lot more than. Because sometimes people look at them in the archive. So sometimes it'll be full or whatever. It just depends sometimes who you have on in certain topics. Mm-hmm. Certain people don't want to talk about cyberbullying or whatever, you know. But, yeah, when you talk about, like you said, Twerk Team I'm going ham at black women, you know. Oh, yeah, it'd be a
problem. Right. It'll be full. But you know what? This is what I discovered about my show. People don't call in on my show. They just listen. I have a chat room full of people, a line full of people. They don't call in. They just listen.
Wow.
I find that very interesting.
They live in fear. They're afraid that they might say somebody's going to mock, or they don't want to be the only one out there. I've noticed that when I put videos up, you take one person to start the whole leaving comments. Other than that, nobody leave comments. A lot of our people
just live in
fear.
You know what, brother? I have a disclaimer on my show. I let them know I will kick your ass out and I will cut your ass off. So perhaps.
Well, and that's probably why they don't call your show with that disclaimer. I mean, you letting them know what you about from the jump.
From the beginning. Don't call my show with no bullshit because I would do not hesitate to kick you out. So I'll cut your ass off. I will do that. I used to didn't even have allowed guests. In my chat room, I should kick all the guests out. You can't come up in here cloaked up. You know what I'm saying? I kick them out for real.
Wow.
Because I'm not really that. I'm really not interested in numbers. You know what I'm saying?
I like interacting with the people. That's my thing. That's what I like about the show more than doing YouTube videos is the interacting with the people. You know, that's like for me. If I'm going to this is just my opinion. If I'm going to just talk, I'd rather do YouTube videos and get off of them. You know,
show. I'm going to tell you, I could talk for 3 hours straight to just this room right here. For real.
Me too.
You got a gift.
Yeah, I could talk without no interaction from nobody. I'd just be talking. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't really, like I tell them, I do my videos for me. I don't even do videos for viewers. This is stuff I want to say that I want to put out in cyberspace because I know I'll be immortal. It's there forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's never been about numbers. It's never been about, you know, how many subscribers. I think the last video I did was the first time. I didn't even know I had that many people subscribed to my channel because I don't look at numbers. I don't look at my blog talk numbers. And I just looked at the YouTube numbers. I don't be paying attention to numbers because that's not the goal. Mm. It's like I'm like a patient in a psychiatrist's couch. That's what it's like for me.
Wow. Okay.
You know, that's what it's like. For real. I don't care if nobody looked. For real, I don't.
Okay, and with that said, I appreciate everybody joining. But I'm going to check out your show and check out some more of your videos, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you be going off. I know you do.
Yes, I do.
So. I like to hear people go off anyway. I just really do. I ain't gonna lie.
Yes, I do. So. But I be trying to be honest and truthful about things too. You know, I just don't be ranting to be ranting. I mean, I have a
nothing wrong purpose. With that. That's entertaining too when people do that. You know. So.
Okay.
Anyway, well, everybody have a good night.
I definitely enjoyed the show tonight.
Oh well, thank you for joining.
Okay.
Everybody have a good night and catch you in cyberspace.
Yes, brother. It was a great show. Glad I came.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Peace.